Mike's.
Hot Mike's. You ever know a guy named Mike? Was he hot? I know one Michael. He was pretty hot.
Hot Austin.
Hot Austin.
Hello.
Hello.
There's no one hotter than Austin.
And Hot Shot.
Hot Shot.
Ooh. Part two.
Not as good as part one. Wait, was it?
I don't know.
Shit. Austin. Was Hot Shots part two better than part one?
I only saw part two.
I kind of liked part two. Sorry, part deux.
Yeah. No, that's right. I'll believe him. I'll believe anyone from Arcadia because they have nothing to lose.
Having a hard time pronouncing a French word, Mr. French last name.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Well, I don't walk around. No, we can't. That's a secret. That's the secret.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
Duh.
This is filled with lies already.
Yeah.
I've lied once. Austin lied once. You're up to bat.
Pat's here today. How about that? No.
No, he's not.
He is coughing up lungs. Is that what we're supposed to understand?
I think some type of disease, at the very least. Possibly flesh eating.
Okay.
Dang.
Necrotizing fasciitis, that's a good one. I'm a fan of it. Were there any releases?
Releases?
Of games that coincide
with... I don't think so. Not today, at least.
No discs that had flesh-eating disease on them,
but,
you know, okay.
But we have our cutie booty friend here, Austin Eruption from Arcadia. How do you do, sir?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing okay.
Look how sexy it sounds, everyone, today. It's crazy.
It's pretty good.
No.
He's got that bass in his voice, right?
Is that... It's just the microphone. It's actually a trick. It's a spell.
He's all breathy.
With your voice, yeah. It's all breathy. It's very radio friendly. Like, you know those late night radio stations where the guy's like, hey.
Oh,
just like
yeah.
the NPR
Sex.
Stuff that airs at like 2 in the morning.
Those types of ones.
Yeah, good old late nights. Welcome. What's up, dude? We haven't spoken in a while, man. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been a while. Just been working, you know, stuff, playing fucking games.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, there's not real playing what? I can't think of anything that's come out.
Not a single game.
Slow like, 2017.
Cue the plates
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Of pancakes coming from
I've
all
been playing
angles.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Forbidden
giant
Memories, dude.
This is Persona right behind you.
Shit.
Don't even remind me. That was the saddest birthday I've ever had.
Oh, that's true. Austin's birthday is on Valentine's Day, and he had like this big, huge, dumb thing planned for Persona, and then I
did.
It's funny.
Yeah. No, like we were.
I called my mom, and I was like, "Don't even wish me a happy birthday. I don't want that shit."
Matt and I were sitting there going like, we're trying to plan out like things and looking at it, and we're going like, oh yeah, so what's coming out when and so on, and we're like, okay, this is coming out, Horizon Zero Dawn's coming out, and we're like, yeah, when does Persona come out again?
And I was like, I think it's April, but I'm not sure.
And I'm like, hey Siri, when does Persona 5 come out? And Siri's like, 2015.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Summer 2015.
And then we jump over to like the first result on Google after you type it in, and the Google's like 2016. We're like, oh.
Yeah.
So we had to go deep into the Wikipedia page to be like, April 3rd. Okay.
Oh, God damn it. Son of a bitch.
At least I think it's April 3rd, right, Austin? You should know.
We can't get excited.
Yeah,
it'll get canceled again.
He's right.
Until it's in your hands.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Until it's here.
Until it's in your hands and downloaded.
Yeah. Japan's got it, bro.
So yeah, you're playing lots of stuff, working really hard. I know you're working hard.
Oh yeah, I've not slept, so this will be an interesting time. Mostly
that.
Been playing Yu-Gi-Oh, though. Like, gonna be real.
You're telling me.
Yeah, apparently you're letting your entire Twitter feed know how much Yu-Gi-Oh you're playing.
At least like a week ago, you were.
I have two booster boxes behind me.
Okay.
Ooh. We can ask him a question. What's the name?
Couple decks.
What's the name of the rival guy
fucking
in the anime?
Joey,
in
whatever.
The localized version of Yu-Gi-Oh. What's the name of the rival?
Hey, Yugi, what the fuck you doing over there, huh?
It's the localized or the Japanese
localized.
Version?
The localized.
It's Joey Wheeler.
Oh, it's Joey Wheeler. You're right.
There you go. Joey, yeah.
Yo, Yugi, you think your heart's in the cards? It ain't.
And I'm like, there's no way that's what they called him in Japan.
What's his name?
I'm assuming you guys didn't see... Oh, it's Jonouchi, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Could they not call him Jin?
Does he have like an Osaka band accent or something to like explain why he's got that weird Long Island fucking weird.
But we're saying like that's, you know, that's just the Gary Oak mold of.
It could be.
Well, that's
yeah.
the thing. I'm like halfway through my English watch of Yu-Gi-Oh. I'm about to start on the Japanese one. You know, gotta get them both in.
Yeah,
you gotta get both.
You gotta get the full experience.
Right.
I need a rival from Brooklyn. That's what I need. I need someone.
There has to be someone that you don't know that you spurned.
Yeah.
That lives in Brooklyn.
That's like, hey, that fucking woolly kid, huh? Hey, Mrs. Oak. Yeah, like all that shit. They're like, why do you sound like that? You're in grade five.
But it's like, what's her face from Azumanga Daioh, who had the cute accent, and then the localized version, they gave her like a Western.
That's Osaka.
Yeah,
it was Osaka.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
I thought it was. I thought she was from like the island that they visit. The rumor that you have.
Oh, Okinawa.
Okinawa. Yeah, no, I thought that's no. where it was, but no. So yeah, like is that the thing? It's like
like it seems like you translate Osaka and Ben into like Southern. A little bit,
I guess
and
so.
Okinawa goes into like weird. I don't know what that becomes. Maybe that becomes like fucking Fargo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah. I don't know where you go with that.
Or it goes with the writers that are, or like the voice actor, like director that's in the room is going, we shouldn't have localized this. Like, yeah. This is going to be rough to get around because jokes are like about her having a weird Osakan accent.
It's kind of like when they dubbed Ghost Stories.
Oh,
if you
yes.
guys remember that one,
I know that.
I haven't seen it. No,
remember that's the one where they said "fuck
you
it."
Oh,
really? And they just recorded random, like, really on the cusp of not being okay jokes. They just threw out the entire script.
It's pretty entertaining, just on a what the hell's going on kind of level.
And random accented people like talking.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's more like, yo, this bitch. Like they just
like a teacher comes out of nowhere and it's just like, hello everybody. You know, like,
yeah, it's a sight to be here.
Okay. There's a, like, it's like, I feel like, across the states, you've got probably like at least 10 distinct accents from coast to coast, from north to south.
Oh, more than that. More than
really?
That.
Like more than that.
Well, more than that in detail, I'm sure, but oh, like that, like, yeah. stand out, I
yeah.
feel like.
Okay.
And in Canada, you got
like three.
There's like three, right? You've got.
There's like Western. There's like Cowboy Town.
You've got
there's regular English.
Yeah, no,
you've got French. Then there's Newfie.
You've got like north of 60. Like, you know, like, oh, we're gonna play some hockey there, right? You know, like the old Canadian. I don't understand what's that all about. You're gonna rip.
But we
one
don't
there,
talk
bud?
like actual Canadians don't really like not actual Canadians, but like.
I know people from Ontario that actually sound like that.
Okay,
yeah,
I
talking about hockey.
I thought that was all Newfie stuff.
No, that's not. No, Newfie is a weird like mutation of that.
Yeah.
But like that version of like
is T-virus Canadians.
Absolutely exists.
Okay.
I can confirm this.
All right.
Well, I got to know how you guys say a word then, because I recently went to Vancouver.
Shoot.
And they say it differently. I'm just going to spell it.
All right.
B-A-G.
Bag.
Bag.
Okay, you say bag, because a lot of people here in Vancouver in the Northwest say bag.
No.
Bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bomb bag. That province. Bag?
Yeah.
No.
It's weird.
Yeah, they're like, I got a paper bag, or put that
Does
in my bag.
Does Jeff talk like that?
Sometimes he lets it slip,
yeah,
but he adds
Jeff.
A little, like, desu at the end of it to cover himself up.
That's real bad.
And then, like,
it's pretty good.
Like, I was listening to, like, a radio show that's talking about, like, weird accents from, like, specific parts of Philly where people claim to talk like this, yeah. It's time for you to cross over. It's like
what
a bit
that?
Of a
That
weird,
sounds like a Beatle.
It's like almost like a weird, like, kind of, like, it's
hi, I'm George Harrison.
It's weird. It's half surfer, half, like, I don't even know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good surfing in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
It makes no sense.
But, like, and I'm doing a terrible version of it, but it's just, like, it's just, there's all these little pockets. And I feel like, again, like, Canada, you just get that weird West Coast, that weird East Coast, and then French Canadian.
Mm.
And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I seen Vernon Shaw of Game Grumps and Hot Pepper Gaming fan kept saying couve.
Couve?
I'm in couve right now.
Couve?
Hmm.
Yeah.
What is that?
What area were we just talking about in Canada that Austin was talking
West
about?
West Coast?
So Vancouver.
The coup? Oh,
he kept calling it coup.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that was his thing or that's what Vancouverites call it.
That's disgusting.
Because I always grew up in Van City. It's Van City because that's what the Rascals called it.
Oh, my God.
We're from Van City.
Yeah.
Best of the best. Like...
Fucking trying too hard.
I don't know who's responsible for Couve. Someone let me know.
Like that, like we were trying to come up with like trying to make stupid cities from Quebec sound cool.
Oh really?
So, yeah, like me and my friend were laughing at that. So it's like, oh, like you're talking about like Mascouche, the fucking farmer city up top. Yeah, we call that Cush City.
That's not bad. That's
I come
not
from
bad.
Cush City. Cush City. That sounds sick. Where is that? Oh, it's like a place where like 300.
Or I'm from the Gaspé area. Oh, you're from the gas? The gas?
Yeah.
Gas town.
Gas town. Exactly. Yeah.
You're gonna fuel up down in Gas Town. Like we're not even well known for gas.
Yeah, I'm from the Three Dot. You know what's the Three Dot? Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, that happens everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Like, even when I initially moved to Texas, I had people that I don't know, I was pen pals with back where I came from or something, and they're like, do you ride on a horse to school?
Are there any like, Texas city names that are like shortened like that to sound cooler? Because most Texas names,
of course,
names are short.
In a world where Philadelphia is a thing, in a world where Chirac is a thing, of course.
Well, then it just comes down to accent or dialect, you know, because then, you know, instead of San Antonio, people are like, go on down San Antone, you know, saying
that's cool.
Terrible shit San like Antone. That. Sorry, not terrible.
But is there like...
Oh, yeah, H-Town. Like H-Town's one.
The like weird, like trying to make it sound cooler than it is, like San Antonio. You know, like any of that bullshit going on. I'm sure there is. Go listen to local hip hop, right? Go listen to
really
local hip hop.
That Texan hip hop.
And you'll find the language that's trying make that city sound cool.
I mean, like, one of the bigger rap cities in Texas was, or just hip-hop, was Houston, and they called it H-Town all the
there
time.
You go, right?
There you go. That's what we're looking for.
Hotlanta.
That was the right answer.
Right, and I'm, like, dude, like, I remember when we had to go on our work hit squad, where you go work abroad for whatever, like, a couple weeks, in B-Town. And it's like, oh, B-Town, that sounds pretty cool.
Hold on. Boston?
Not even. Way lamer than that.
B-Town.
You gotta drop down to like the bottom of the rug.
Boise, Idaho. Like what?
Burlington.
Fuck that. A, there's developers in Burlington, and B, fuck that.
Straight out of Vermont, bitch.
No way.
Well, there's a city around here called Bellingham that people call Beeham.
There you go.
That's fine.
And of course, the people in Montreal that try too hard call it Mount Real.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I've never heard that until right now, and I want to punch you.
That's local hip hop. That's
fuck.
Yeah, Mount Real, you know.
Mount Real.
And I, like in previous videos, I've gone off on motherfuckers trying to make Toronto sound cool by calling it the Six.
T-Dot's fine.
T-Dot, whatever. But the Six.
The Six?
That's Drake pushing, like, because it's the combination of the Six boroughs that came together, Scarborough and fucking old Toronto,
okay.
Greater GTA.
The origin of that is cool, but the name is not.
It's Mississauga, and it's like, yeah, we call
it Mississauga. Is Mississauga? It's not part of Toronto.
But all together, they're the Six, the unity of the Six, and it's spelled.
It's not it's fucking spelled, deadly group of like wizards.
It's spelled like 6IX.
Why?
I don't know.
Did X Pac create this?
Because Drake needs it to sound cool. Because Toronto,
T-Dot's fine.
Canada would get no respect.
You
otherwise.
Were fine with T-Dot,
and it still doesn't.
I feel like the next step here, though, is to incorporate the name of the city into your name.
Get example.
Okay, so you guys are from Montreal.
Yeah.
So you would be Metmon.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Digimon.
And Wooly Real.
A Woolmon, then you also sound like a Pokemon or a Digimon.
That's just, yeah, that barely works. Or Austin.
Shit.
Austin.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
Austin Yaddle.
Let us know if you guys, if anyone out there, if you have stupid names
for things,
or if you specifically know names that your local hip hop scene, like, and when I say local, I mean like
local,
like your block
next door,
and like I'm talking about within four gas stations.
Yeah,
you know, like I want to know what people are calling those places, like, and trying to make them sound cool.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get some questions. Let's get some like questions in Mailbag next week for that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's pretty good.
I love it. I love how bad it gets.
I'm sure there's thousands of them.
What have you been up to, man? How's your week?
What have you actually been playing and stuff?
A lot of stuff for video, and I've also been playing a little bit of I got to play a Switch recently.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, one of my friends got one early, and we've been messing around on it. I got to play 1-2 Switch and a little bit of Zelda.
Fucking Lee posted up on Twitter.
Yeah, and Lee's a little braggy baby, isn't he?
I was like, why do you have one? You're from Arcadia. That makes no sense.
I mean, I liked that tweet because I agree.
Why do we have one?
Why is this
why
here?
Why do we have access to one?
I thought I had the most time with 1-2 Switch because it was like, you know, in a group setting, and I felt like it was really fucking lame, honestly. Like, I mean, it's pretty much what you would expect it to be, which is like a social party game. But I don't know. Some of the games just didn't feel responsive. I got to play like baseball and the gorilla one, and like the gorilla one wants you to like actually beat on your chest with the Joy-Con,
right,
you know, alternating in a rhythmic pattern. But if you actually hit your chest, the game like pauses and is like, don't do that.
But you wanted like, me to be a gorilla.
Right. Just role play as a gorilla. Not don't actually be one, you know?
Okay.
How was the quick draw?
Quick draw was fun. I like fake draw better. Do you know what that one is?
Fake?
No.
So they recorded a bunch of F words and they like make you stand in front of the person as the person's like, fly. Farm, you know, doing that
fire.
Until he says fire, and then you do it, right?
Okay.
But like, as far as like the hardware of the Switch goes, I feel like it's actually really fucking solid. I mean, it's literally like, to me at least, it's in terms of hardware, is the Vita 2. You know,
you mean,
it feels
you mean
really
when
good.
You have when you're holding the device in portable mode.
Yes, okay. Yes, and the fact that there's no games yet.
Yeah, well,
but
have you guys like fully used the battery charge on it?
We didn't get to because we were playing mostly off the TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we only played it slightly in portable mode.
What sucks about getting a console that early is that like there's a you know like a bunch of games that are like digital only that will only be there like actually on launch day, like Fast Racing Remix and a timed exclusive on that new Shovel Knight stuff as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's like you're sitting there and you're like, yep, can't Zelda and one other game, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm excited for Bomberman. We didn't get
Bomberman R early.
But Bomberman R is like my shit. Yeah.
Is that like physical or is it digital as well?
I think it's physical.
Yeah.
And video footage is looking pretty dope. But
Dope as Bomber Girl.
Well, you know, that was a whole other topic. Although the full price point on it is upsetting to some folks. But looking into some footage, it does look like a pretty damn good Bomberman game.
Like,
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You
know? Like it's 60, yeah?
It's full price, yeah.
Like it should be 39. It should be like 40, I'd say, is a sweet spot. But
yeah.
That's just
I thought it was a $50 game.
I think
are we going for
Canadian,
us?
Yeah, we're talking Canadian, I guess. But
what is like a full price Switch game in America? I assume it's 59.
60?
Yeah, it's 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is it
Zelda
60? So then it is a reduced price. Oh, well. Then in that case, it would be 70 for us and 60 if it was cheaper.
So. Now, I'm so confused. Most games are $1,000 for us now, I think. That's the kind of average. Like,
yeah.
I pre-ordered Horizon.
That's like 20 USD.
I pre-ordered Horizon and it said $325. That seems high.
I will believe Liam, though, when he was saying that, like, you know, Bomberman has not been selling particularly well. And in some cases, like... Bomber Girl is almost like an attempt to try something new with it.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
Like, what was the last real Bomberman release? Like, I'm sure that
it was iOS. Years ago.
I mean, there was that 8-player game that dropped on.
Beware?
Battle something.
It was on at least Wii U, you know?
Was it Wii U? I don't know.
I know there was just... there was at least one, a Wii U 8-player game, but it might have just been eShop carryover. I'm
It might have been.
But, yeah.
Because I do remember there's we tried to boot that up or something. We tried to do something with that. That sounds familiar, but eh.
Mm-hmm. By all intents and purposes, Bomberman should sell well because it's one of the three or five physical games on the Switch.
Because when the Wii and the Wii U came out and they had their digital stores, a lot of those games that were there day one did really well, World of Goo and Little Inferno, things that those are from the same developers. But a lot of stuff that's there on launch, I'd assume almost any game that's there at launch on a digital storefront on any system does well, at least because that's the only option in town.
What about
Zelda? Sorry, Willie.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, continuing with the Switch talk, it's you're the only one that got hands on it. What else did you get a chance at?
So I only briefly got to play Zelda because, it was a group setting.
Right.
You
just take the Switch and go into a room. I'll play this for a few hours. See you guys later.
Yeah, I'm talking to my friends who also played it. They say it feels great. It's strange to have Link have a jump button.
It's true.
And some of the way the controls are mapped, it feels very you're going to have to unlearn some muscle memory just because of the way everything works. But it definitely it feels good. It feels like a Zelda game, but with an open world.
This is what a lot of people wanted.
My only problem, and this is, I don't know if this is just me. I feel like the game has a weird saturation filter over everything and it just looks muddy.
Really?
The art style looks good, but I just feel when you're presented with wide angle shots of the world, it looks like the screenshots that you saw 10 years ago of early open world games where you if you look closely, you'd see tiny trees that are the same texture repeating, but only six of them in the distance. I feel like
I assume you're playing this on a big TV in front of you and stuff.
Yeah. It just, I don't know, it's because I'm extremely hyped for Horizon Zero Dawn that my inner piece of shit's coming in and making comparisons when I really shouldn't be. But I think Zelda's got potential. I'd have to sit down and have more time with it though.
Cause my main thing of it has always been when we first saw those extended long plays of it, last E3. Mm-hmm. And I was oh, this is so cool. But then you get a little tired of just seeing just the wandering of the big open world. And then when we got that last trailer, we showed all the story stuff, which there was a general feeling that the game would not have a lot of story. Remember early on some people were saying there's no towns, there's no one to talk to, there's no nothing, there's no story. You can beat the game in an hour if you just head to the final boss. It's going to be rough or something like that. And then that last trailer is now I'm more interested in the story than anything else because it seems crazy with tons of really interesting looking characters. And
I imagine those voice acting cutscenes and such are going to be hours apart from each other. Mm-hmm. I feel like the average person you run into is not going to be
it's weird.
You know,
I can't
triggering one of those.
I don't really understand. Austin, can you say something to me?
Yeah, what's
up? Sorry. Because I lost there. Thank you. I kind of lost a bit of feed there for a second.
We got dirty pots. I got to clean them.
Dirty pots.
Dirty pots.
Is
dirty pots. Bow, bow.
Get a link in here. Come and smash them.
Smash those pots.
Sick and tired of hearing all of these people.
I've never been absolutely sure about who actually speaking. You know what I mean? In some cutscenes, the characters don't seem like they're talking, and in others, they are voiced, and in others, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I need to actually play the game to understand because me, Wooly, I've long since complained about when a game uses six or seven different types of narrative.
Yeah.
And the worst offender is still to this day Onimusha 4, where it literally used five or six storytelling devices in a given scene.
It was pretty extreme. And you're from text crawl to narration to
sliding portraits
comic,
to big CG cutscenes all in the same hour.
Shout outs to Afro Samurai as well for mixing it up.
A little bit. It was close there, but yeah. Any other impressions on the Switch? Those are the only two games you got to play, huh?
It sounds like...
That's the only two I got to play.
Okay, it sounds like you guys just kind of spent more time just playing normally instead of really taking it for a hardware tour de force and going through each and every odd and end and bits to test it out.
And we couldn't even download patches or anything or access any store, so because it was like an early access unit, we were very limited. And also, we were playing Secret Hitler as well, which
that's a good ass game.
Grabbed the attention. Mm-hmm.
That's a good ass game.
I won.
You won. I love the way you said that.
As a fascist or as a liberal?
I won as Hitler.
Ooh.
In a 10-player game.
Good job.
That's the one where, like, when you start, you don't know who any of your allies are.
Right. Yeah.
And Lee ended up being on my team, as well as Austin, our Peanut Butter Gamer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just started screaming, right? Like, like, you know, accusing people of being fascist. And like, okay, I'm pretty sure these guys are on my side because they're very loud. So I'm going to entrust him with my chancellorship.
It is a great game. And if you are good at lying, like, you'll win every mm-hmm. time.
Have you won a bunch?
I've won a couple.
You won a couple?
But I'm good at, like, arguing until someone just
gives up.
Yeah, it's really just badgering, really, until...
That's a skill.
You know, until you're just like, oh my god, I don't care, it's a game. I'm like, yes.
I'm the master of the long, long card when it comes to Secret Hitler.
That's a skill
Hitler.
By any metric. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I played two liberal cards as Hitler and still won the round that we played. So I'm like, I feel pretty proud about this.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm going to take it home. Take out homeless victory.
It's the game that I brought up on the podcast before, but Secret Hitler is made by the people that made Cards Against Humanity, mm-hmm. and it's their second game after Cards Against Humanity. So it's like, you know, if you're going to follow up that big hit with something, it better damn be good.
And people talk about it all the time.
And
so.
they got something mm-hmm. good, yeah. And they have the free print out your own version on their website. So you know, because that shit sold out immediately. So like, yeah, it's
fucking. I initially played it on Tabletop Simulator of all things.
Okay, I guess the one other thing I wanted to ask is just really quick on the Switch thing was when you were playing, did you notice that between grabbing the player one side Switch Joy-Con or the player two side, that the stick placement was more or less awkward?
It definitely felt a little strange, like switching between the two, because you know you have the whole attachments with the straps on them that you need for certain games, and suddenly you're holding a controller in a complete opposite manner, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's meant for a different hand, but it didn't feel like it was throwing me off like super hard.
Okay, because I feel like the second player controller was probably going to be a rough time for me, considering like, mm-hmm. the size of it in general is just not ideal, but like the placement of the stick more towards the center just looked like it would be more awkward overall.
Yeah.
Well, Lee was saying like he has giant mammoth hands, and he's like, these are fine.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're totally fine. I have tiny little baby hands, and they're fine.
I've touched them before. I know.
But I've heard people that I need someone who to like someone who, to play. To, blah. What am I trying to say?
I don't know.
I always go back to the GBA SP as my like litmus test, where it's like if you have giant mammoth hands, great. Were you comfortable with the SP? And if you go, yeah, I was fine, then it's like, then we don't relate, you know? Or if, mm-hmm. like the micro.
Oh, well, Jesus, yeah. Of course, you're taking the most tiniest.
The micro
examples.
Is ridiculous for sure, but yeah. like, but the SP I think is like the smallest you can get, where that threshold for people that have like normal sized hands were like, yeah, this is fine, and people with even slightly bigger hands were fine with it, but anything above slightly bigger, you were like, this, I can't use this, you know. And for me in particular, well, like that SP is like the cutoff.
I think you'll be fine, because I remember Lee talking like a couple of times on Twitter, just like, I'm worried. I have these giant hands. I'm worried. And then he shows a picture and he's like crushing like a bowling ball with his hands, because his hands are so big, apparently. And he's just talking about them. And when he finally had it in his hand, it didn't even look that awkward. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so happy. This does not feel weird, and I should be fine.
I never realized how much Lee talks about his hands, man.
I guess, like, you know, one of my big things, too, with the SP and why I keep going back to it is because it was those shoulder buttons that I needed to play. I needed to play Mega Man Zero, and I was having such mm-hmm. a hard time tapping them.
The shoulder buttons on the SP were never great.
So, you know, in this case, since you're not really looking at those buttons, then or they're not really going to be as much of a thing in active gameplay, then, you know, I guess it might be okay. I don't know.
I think you'll be okay, just because of the sheer amount of ways you can hold different types of controllers, if that makes sense. because you have, you know, the Joy-Cons by themselves. You have the Joy-Cons put together into the little stand to make a little small controller. You have the Pro Controller, and then you have the Joy-Cons on the Switch. So that's four different methods that you can
try out. I think that's the way that they could possibly get around people with different hand sizes.
Yeah, and I'm going to walk with my Pro whenever possible, so, you know.
You're able to get a Pro? I still wasn't able to get one.
Considering the FCC only approved it, like, or whatever, like, way, way late into, like, a week or two before they started taking... They started taking pre-orders, but not for controllers, because they didn't
get approved. Okay, so that explains why I wasn't able.
There was the only thing that like they were that didn't get the okay yet. Something with the save. I don't know why it took long, but
amazing.
You know, So good luck at that. Like, yeah, it's kind of still the Wild West in terms of getting your hands on the fucking controllers.
Yeah. Exciting time.
No, I'm
definitely excited for the Switch, though. Yeah. Definitely, like overall.
I just, you know, when it comes to that shipment stuff, though, I'm not like. I have to just make myself not care if it comes in or if it doesn't, if I get it or if I don't, because like, you know, I saw like someone Jim Sterling was reporting on the fact that it's like, hey, whatever, one of these GameStops that was supposed to get 5 ended up getting 3, so I guess they were shortchanged. And it's like, I mean, by any other metric, if you're like, if you were supposed to get 500 of a thing and you get 300 of a thing, that sucks. You know, but yeah. when it's
when
literally
you weren't going to get a lot
digit,
and you get less, yeah.
It's like what it's nothing to nothing, you know. And so I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm gonna have to like forget getting it right away or whatever, and just be like, I'll get it when I can, when I'm allowed to, and that'll be that. You know.
See, both of my roommates are getting Switches, so I'm like, okay, I'll just play yours for now. I got to play through Horizon Zero Dawn first anyway.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, and I mean, you know, Pat's going on his quest. He's going to at least commit 3 homicides on his way to getting all of his Switches. But I don't know. I'm not getting my hopes up because I know it's going to be a shit show.
But I mean, you have one pre-ordered.
If I get lucky, I get lucky. Pat took one of his pre-orders, and like he said, he gave it to me.
A rare moment of charity and kindness.
Well, it's because he was going because he had like a bunch of in-person ones at the store set up for him and other people that are going. So then the one that he said he was getting from Amazon, he's like, yeah, when that ships in, you can take that. And I was like,
oh. Well, let's hope it's not like the PlayStation VR where you get the broken one.
Yeah. Well.
Because I got a pre-order for the system, but that's it. No games, no controllers, no nothing.
As long as him and Elmo aren't like elbow dropping it before they give it to me, then that'd be nice. Okay. Did you do anything else, or should we pass?
I'd say pass the torch. Go for
what
it.
What about you, Wolves?
Me? You. Oh, yeah, okay.
You, little Wolves.
Honestly, so... Like I went to a For Honor offline tournament,
huh?
And that took place at MVA, the place where the Montreal Street Fighter group meets up. Unfortunately, the night of the fucking tournament, the goddamn Ubisoft servers were offline.
Oh shit!
So
the tournament was fucking canceled, and
it's
like
offline.
But you can't even play. You can't even log in. I fucking, and it just brings about all the goddamn, like, all the my hatred for
online only
shit, where you're like, you know what, when the time comes where they don't want you to play this game anymore, you can't. You can fight against the AI, I guess, and that's about it. But if we want to kill the servers for any reason or whatever the fuck, that's it. Your game doesn't matter anymore. And I'm like, this is a really good fighter. This would be great if you could play in an offline environment where you can go LAN to LAN and have, like, no lag issues at all, you know? But no, we've got to go do this fucking song and dance. And, like, if your game... And this is the perfect example, is, like, okay, we're having a meetup. We're going to have a tournament here.
No.
We want to take this game seriously.
You
we
can't.
Wanna, you know what I mean?
Shut up.
Oh, Evo Grand Finals? Oh, so fucking server's down. You can't play game until servers are back. Like, what the fuck?
Dang.
You know? So that sucks. And it's like,
what'd you guys do instead? You just all went home, or
we played Windjammer. Hey. That game's not online. Why, only.
Yeah, no, watch it will be in the last second.
You can't stop me from playing fucking Windjammers, man.
Wait. Isn't the PS4 release? Isn't that coming out soon?
No, not soon. Like in the end of summer, I think.
Yeah, whenever .mu feels like it. But
whenever Dave Lang feels like
so, you know, I just kind of, I'm like, this soured my mouth, the taste in my mouth a bit of just like, I want to play this game and like actually learn and
compete, but you and can't do it.
First night, I leave to go out and meet other players, and a dude drove over from Vermont to come for to the tournament because he's like, "Oh shit, wow. For Honor tournament, that's awesome!" And he drove over, and it's
so
like,
so I will make sure Ubisoft pays for his gas.
Yeah, yeah.
I know someone that works there. I'm going to be like, where the gas money at?
It fucking sucks, man.
That sucks.
You got to raise your fists in the air and yell at Uplay, man.
Basically.
Is it Uplay's fault? No, it's not Uplay's fault in this game. Well, blame Uplay anyway.
Might as well do it.
But, like, you know, they really, really want that integration and all that shit, and they're not going to let
that's
it go.
That's fine. That's fine for having a mode, but, like, just why does all the entire game have to be?
The death of goddamn, like, LAN is the worst for games like this. When you know that it's like, when you know it's a game that you want people to play as, well, I guess they're thinking about it like shooters, like online shooters in a way where it's like, yeah, but you don't really have those rules.
Unless they put in a 4-player split screen. That'd be awesome for Honor.
Split screen, that'd be great.
That'd be great. In that case, like, I just made that as a joke or whatever, a bad one, but like, what are your other options?
It was literally
just LAN, you mean, yeah?
Yeah, well, like,
but like, who does that anymore? Does anyone do that anymore?
Not really. The
system
no,
link?
No, and especially with like games that the worst is for like Gundam Versus, where it's like, okay, you have to be on PSN, and you can go through a Switch onto, when I say Switch, I mean like the actual like
console
modem
console.
You know, but but it's like you go through your router into the second console, but you still have to be connected to PSN, so at the very least it's like, it's still annoying and whatnot, but you can do it.
You can jump through some hoops and get it done,
but it requires a Sony server connection, not like a Bandai connection, right so whereas in this case it's like, no, you gotta be on the game's fucking servers, and that's it. Too bad. So yeah, that just killed the entire night. I'm still playing that.
Just like everyone, damn, just playing Windjammers, being like, we should have had a Windjammers meetup.
Basically, it's how it went. We had a great time.
So when's the next Windjammers meetup?
Yeah, I mean, we'll try to reschedule. We'll see what happens, you know? We're going to plan out for when they have their next outage.
Windjam for Honor.
Man, it is absurd. Like, with online requirements, you know, always online, you like, just making you unable to play these games that you pay for these days.
I don't like there being an off switch.
Wait,
to my video
could
game.
You play the single player, or does the game just lock you out?
You can play single player. You can even...
Not that that helps in your scenario.
You can spar with the AI, right? And you can even... Because the servers were... They were like, they weren't completely down. They were just
just down a little bit.
They were down. Your nat was red. You had no
stats. Everyone's nat was red.
You couldn't connect to anybody, but you could still be.
And they issued an emergency patch to try to fix this. Yeah.
So what you could do is like go. You could click 1v1 versus AI, and it would load you into a game with AI.
Like, that's something to do, but it doesn't help a fucking tournament.
Nope.
Does it?
Nope. So that was that.
Yet somehow you can still hook a GameCube up to an internet and route it to a private Fantasy Star Online server.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Or Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, my heart. Yeah. My heart at the idea of Warp Pipe.
Yeah, man.
That was going to be such a thing.
Whatchamacallit. So beyond that, whatever, like, played Windjammers instead, you know. I played some more Neo. There's something to that game where I'm learning it nice and early here, but... there's a lot of replaying and retreading through the areas.
I've heard that.
Right? So you've got, like, the main mission, you've usually got, like, let's say two alt versions of the mission where they cut the map in half or so and put you on, like, a little single quest, change the time of day, change
the placement. Yeah, it's like night mode or night, like, twilight mode.
Yeah, or exactly, like it's all humans, it's all yokai or whatever. And then there's the twilight missions where you basically, it's almost like New Game Plus, like, right away where you get better rewards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now...
A lot of Japanese games have like this night mode on some levels. Like, there's a couple that I know of. Like, there's a Tenchu game that has like nightmare mode, which is just like flip the environment a little bit, and it's just you get better rewards and stuff.
Exactly. It's like you've whatever the fucking term is, but like when you do the thing to the bonfire that makes the area harder. Mm-hmm. And so when you go through Neo, though, like, it unlocks the new mission for you to progress, or it lets you go back and do those. And if you're playing a Twilight, you get those Twilight missions. You can end up going back through the first map 4 or 5 times in a row. And those missions are long. Like, they're not quick. It takes a while to get through them. I've gone through that first map, because I'm like doing things as they complete before I go to the next progression point. Right. And having gone through that first map 4 times now, I'm like, okay, if I do this with every mission, I'm going to get burnt out on
Definitely.
The area.
I can imagine.
And I know that like completionist is there for completionist's sake. It's like you don't have to go that far, obviously. But
why are you doing it then?
Because I want the good items, right?
Okay,
I want the good items, stuff.
Right.
But I got the feeling after doing it for the 4th time that it's like, don't spend your time going back to the same map when new things open up. You're going to just get sick of it.
Maybe it's like go through areas like twice and like mix it up rather than burning out on one area.
Because when I initially thought it was just going to be 2, I was like, oh, that's fine. And then it was 3 and then it was 4. And I was like, And you know, and I made the mistake of doing it, and now I'm like, okay,
I'm glad you're seeing the problem and taking steps to try to manage it.
Yeah, it's
proud
it's,
of you
because
buddy.
Because you know, in a Souls game, you would or in a Ninja Gaiden game, even whatever, you just you'd go forward and then you'd progress, and that'd be that. And like, you know, you can return to areas to pick up stuff you've missed, but like. For the most part, there's moments where you get locked out, or there's moments where it's all open world, so you don't really feel like you're trudging through anything that you don't have to. But in this case,
the game's not forcing you to, rather.
Yeah, but in this case, you're picking it off the thing because you're seeing, oh my god, this thing has some great rewards on it. I want to go get those. Mm. And then about halfway through, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have done this. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's why things are designed like that, just to keep the player playing and not playing something else, you know? Like, oh, you get the nice shinies if you keep playing over and over.
Mm. But you exhaust yourself in the process and you get a bit sick of it. And I'm like, and now that I'm sick of that first area, and I'm like, ah, damn it, I don't want to feel this way. This early in the game, you know, like I don't want to feel like I'm super done, tired with this one zone when it's like I've got so much more zone left.
So much more zone.
Yeah. Just I guess a word of warning is like, you know,
don't do what he did,
or at the very least, go in and then come cycle back around later when you feel like it.
Go in and progress until you cannot progress anymore, and then the game's like you need to.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the solution.
Yeah, maybe if you hit a wall, if you hit a boss that's kicking your ass, then you're like, all right, let me go look around somewhere else or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that seems like a decent way to play. And plus, like, some of your really good abilities are locked until you beat a clear a certain type of mission anyway. But yeah, that's kind of how what I learned about Neo and how I'm going to continue playing it is just not fucking retreading right away.
I think that's smart.
Yeah. So there, beyond that, I also checked out American Sniper, which I didn't watch when it first came out, and that was something I was like, yeah, I want to catch. Well, with,
like Clint Eastwood's like most successful movie ever.
Yeah, it was huge, and it was supposed to be directed by Spielberg,
and he dropped out.
And he dropped out because he wanted a bigger budget for it. Huh. And then like Clint Eastwood took it over.
Clint Eastwood's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, very simple, straightforward movie, you know, really good. It's one of those things, though, where they took some liberties for the story when they're adapting the real version of like, what happened with Chris Kyle into, you know, into the cinema. So, like...
He killed the boss.
Well, that's... did you see it?
No, I didn't, actually. I'm just like... He killed, like, a supernatural monster.
But that's
what
the thing is for the movie. They created a rival, like, sniper guy that's the bad guy, boss guy.
Okay, that's such a movie thing.
And, like, they made the whole thing is, like... They added this character that was, like... he's, like, a former Olympic sniper... That will like he disappeared from the Olympics after winning a medal, and then like went and then became a jihadist and is now on the enemy team.
Okay,
and he's like the counter sniper, enemy in the darkness kind of thing.
Okay,
you know.
So I have to ask. Now, most times when this happens to a real life person, they make a comment about it. They get interviewed. They're like, "That didn't happen. I don't like that." If someone were to make a movie about my life and add in a rival or a cool thing, I would be so fucking hyped. And you would too.
Yeah.
And I'm certain Austin would love that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't like that?
It spices it up.
Cowards, that's who.
It spices it up.
I would want a twist where I'm actually the rival and there's another person.
You have a split person? Right? Oh, okay.
I'm not even the main character.
Twist.
But who?
No, but
who?
But like, no.
Who, exactly?
They definitely, they to some degree, like, they made it with the idea that, like, each of his tours was kind of almost like chasing after this guy. After the first one where she went red bad. So they kind of added a couple of details and they movied things up a little bit, right?
Okay.
While sticking with the main storyline of like what he actually went through and stuff. But like, and some of the scenes where they were like, you know, movieing it up and like he's up top being like, you know, the wolf, just like bap, 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 like sniping and being awesome. You get this moment, you get this flashback where you're like, am I just watching Nation's Pride from Inglourious Bastards?
It sounds like it.
It's just Zoller up in the tower just being
I stayed there for 3 days.
You know? And it's like, and that's
fighting for my country.
So it's like you have a surreal story that that they're going through that was like pretty incredible. And then when it's like, and we got to turn the movie up to 11, like. Make it nice and big cinema. You know, you get those moments where you're like, this is totally what they were watching in the theater before fucking Donnie Donowitz and friends came down and lit the whole place up.
Just from an American perspective.
Oh, man. You know, and it was a weird moment where I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. But then you just get this, like, sequence of, like, just all these, like, solid, like, bam, 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 saving people, taking shots, whatever. And I'm like, this is the guy in the fucking guard tower as the music is playing and everyone just going, like, ah! You know, and I was like,
although in Nation's Pride, he was there the entire time. Like the movie, I don't think it implied that that was the movie. He was in that tower the entire time.
Yeah.
Whereas you're saying that in American Sniper, he has different tours at least.
Yeah, no, and he goes back home and he's like trying to be normal.
Trying to be normal.
No. It's a good movie, but it's just like it's at certain peak moments.
Yeah.
You know, when the combo meter fills up and it goes into overdrive, right. Then you just get like
the silent scope.
Yeah. Where the like the red, white, and blue filter comes over the lens. And you're like, whew.
Stars are shooting out of guys' bodies instead of blood.
It gets a little bit silent scope on you.
Okay.
That's totally fun. Bone eater.
I forgot.
That movie came out when I lived in Texas, and I gotta say, like, you know, you remember the hype when Avatar came out, when everyone was like, oh my god.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Everyone remembers that. It was like that for American Sniper for months. That movie was in theaters in Texas for months.
Yeah. Made a lot of money. And like, that guy's not from Texas, is he?
Bradley Cooper?
No, the character.
Chris Kyle? Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes more sense than why Texas is so crazy.
He's Pride. He's the Pride. Okay, you know, like one of the fucking...
Okay. Yeah. Movies aren't in theaters for months anymore, you know?
Very occasionally, American Sniper. Stick around, but yeah.
But like, exactly. No, when you're a national pride, it's like that's going to stick around. Absolutely.
The nation's pride. Mm-hmm.
You know, and... I didn't even say that intentionally. That was not even intended, but dude, you're right. Exactly, right? I need to go watch that.
Because it's hard being a sniper.
Yeah,
it's super hard, I assume.
And you know what's double hard is when you don't have a spotter and you're doing it yourself.
He didn't have a spotter?
He was just doing it himself.
That's awesome.
Which also I was like, I don't know if that was real or not. I need to go look up the facts. I was looking up the facts and I kind of fell into like a wiki hole about like some other
of
stuff.
Of course you did.
Because he was doing his own spotting and I was like, they're supposed to be the guy next to you helping you with that.
Yeah, your little helper.
It's really hard.
You're familiar.
It's really hard. Yeah.
The only other sniper I knew that never had a spotter was the End.
Oh man, yeah. No, but and there's definitely like a final battle where like after, you know, like the big climax, there's just the like, okay, the play. Okay, you know what it is? It's the end of a Left 4 Dead mission where like it's overrun. We got to get out. And it's like, there's just too many, like, target-rich environments. There's nothing left to do. you know, just get the fuck out type of thing. And I'm like, wow, yeah, we're looking at like the helicopter pulling you out as you're just getting bonus points.
Yeah,
just, <whoa. laughs>
you know, yeah, yeah.
As the credits are rolling, yeah. And you're waiting for it to fade to black really slow. You know, it's one of those things.
I can get a few more in before the timer runs down.
Oh god, but yeah, but you know, what am I gonna say, man? Clint Eastwood,
yeah, yeah.
Joe Turow is a good director. Who would have thunk it? Yeah. And what was interesting to me too was that I didn't realize this, but apparently before Bradley Cooper, when he first picked it up, they wanted
who said no?
It's not that they said no; it's that he picked out. Fucking
who, Clint Eastwood?
No. Bradley Cooper got the rights.
Okay, sorry.
Right, to use producing.
Oh, okay.
Right, and this was back when it was still a Spielberg joint.
Yeah, yeah.
And he picked out Andy, Guardians of the Galaxy. Star-Lord.
Oh, he picked out Chris Pine. Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
It's too many Chris's.
Right, and I'm like, oh my god, they all look the same. They have the same face. They totally like, and then
yeah, it's the type of guy,
right? And then they went, and then they wanted Bradley Cooper to. They're like, no, we want you to star in it. You know, the studio.
That's fine.
So he's like, okay, well, I guess I got to be
Chris Pratt. You know? I mean, like almost every comedian has had a few roles where they're like in a serious thing, you know,
yeah.
Has Chris Pratt been in a serious thing?
Yeah,
so far?
I mean, didn't he do that thing what's her name
Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That weird sci-fi movie where they're stuck on a thing.
Yeah, so I think
it was jokey
now.
Too, though. They were making jokes, and they're like, they don't get along. They're in space.
Maybe
I think it was that type of thing. I never saw it.
I think he's at the point where it's like, yeah, people are going to.
He could do it. He could do it.
But no. It's solid, and it also makes me so. Yeah, it gives me some homework. I'm like, I got to go back to Inglorious Bastards and watch that again
because
I only watched it once. And
I was literally talking about that movie yesterday. It's super good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like that's like in my top five Tarantino nice. Inglorious Bastards. Like it's up there.
And I got to go back to Gran Torino just to hear super angry fucking racist. Eastwood like gritting through his teeth saying like,
get the fuck off my lawn.
Slurs that I didn't know existed. Inventing them and bringing them back
them as it happened.
And inventing them and bringing them back at the same time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he says a new one and then you go back into history books and now that word was there.
and then in the end credits he has that song he sings about Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood. And I'm like, you're singing? He's like, my Gran Torino. And I'm like, whoa.
Hey man, we can't all be the Man in Black.
No, we can't.
It's like
certainly not him.
It's you're
like Clint Eastwood's rap career.
Yeah, you're great in front of the camera and behind it. Maybe not on the mic. I don't know.
Come on down to T-Dot.
Leave that up to Cash.
Come on, he's working on it. He's trying his best.
I once fell in love with a girl from Coov.
Anyway,
good stuff.
That's me.
Okay. I played a couple things. I was going to say for honor, just no reason, too many other stuff.
A lot going on.
So,
a lot going on.
I mentioned, last week I was going to play A Night in the Woods and, that came out, since the last podcast and played around 3 hours of it. And I played
that's the cat game, right?
Animal game. Yeah. But yeah, you play as a cat, May Borowski.
Sure.
So a lot of pierogies. In this game.
Oh, your people.
Yeah.
I hate pierogies.
The food of your people?
I hate it.
That's like me hating patties. That's crazy.
It sure is. Like that. Wow. I get physically, like, my mom had like the authentic, my mom's not Polish, but my dad's mom is. And she gave my mom her authentic Polish recipe for pierogies. Whenever she tried to feed me as a little Matt, I was just like, my tongue would literally roll to the back of my throat and my mouth would close up. Like there was something about it where I got physically just, I can't eat this. There's something wrong with it. And I'm like, maybe it's too authentic. Maybe I need the North Americanized frozen version of pierogies, you know? Maybe that's what I need. Even worse. I just started screaming.
Even with like, with the side of sausage and like a full plate?
Oh. No, the side of sausage. I'd eat the sausage, but that doesn't matter.
That sucks.
It really sucks.
Okay, what the fuck is a pierogi?
What?
What the fuck's a pierogi?
God damn it.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
It's basically a tortellini.
Yeah, it's a traditional Polish tortellini.
But they're big, bigger, and they're stuffed with meat or veggies or potatoes.
You fry them up and you eat them with sausages and onions.
You usually put butter on them with breadcrumbs.
Sour cream.
I just don't know. Anyway. And
we don't have that here.
In Seattle, no. Well, I'm sure there's probably.
You're a shitty Polak.
I sure am. I like Polish, like traditional Polish sausages, and I remember that dessert I bring around sometimes called kruszty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's basically like kind of a dough with powdered sugar on it. I like that. So anyway, pierogies are all over in Night in the Woods, and basically it's like a really, really lax adventure game where I wouldn't say like Broken Age, but has a similar art style of Broken Age, and you're basically just walking around a town and you're just talking to characters and meeting up with people that you haven't seen since you've been in college for 3 years, in cat college or whatever.
Okay.
And just, you're not doing that much. You're walking from point A to point B. You have a little journal that says, go talk to so-and-so. You're not doing that much. And little bits of gameplay pop up where you have to help move a couch up the stairs, or you have a knife fight with your friend, a friendly knife fight at dawn, stuff like that. And it was, you're not, like I said, it's not going to tax your gameplay, you know, reflexes, but I'm not going to say Homestar Runner style dialogue. It's not quite there, but it's as close as you can get to like, did the Homestar Runner guys, did the Brothers Chaps do this? No, they did not. But it does feel a lot like it. And it's a little bit of Life is Strange in there as well with the aesthetic and the sort of atmosphere.
So, funny, charming, light.
It's a little more edgy than Funny, Charming, Light. It is charming, but it's more like the strong badness gets in there. Just dialogue-wise, I was really, really enjoying it. There's some things that made me laugh out loud. I'm not done the game yet, but I played it again, the section I played, and I did the different choices where two friends are saying, hey, what are you doing tonight? You can hang out with one, you can hang out with the other. And I chose one, and then this playthrough of that part, I chose another. And we just had another wacky adventure somewhere else. And they're both really fun. It's like, oh, shit. These actually matter. Like, you have a completely different gameplay, so you can just go to a completely different area. Never would have seen. So I'm not done yet, obviously, like I said, but I'm going to probably try to stream the rest of it sometime this week. I haven't decided when, but I'm really, really liking it. Again, it's made me laugh. And, like, games that made me laugh are the hardest. Mm-hmm. There's so few, especially when you get older. As a kid, it's kind of easier. But like nowadays, like what? This, Tales of the Borderlands, I'd imagine, made you laugh.
It's pretty funny.
Right.
It's pretty funny.
Undertale.
Yeah.
After that, my mind goes kind of blank. I'm sure there's
intentionally stuff. Making you laugh.
Intentionally making me laugh. That's with jokes and humor.
Important
yes.
distinction, yeah.
So I played that. I played a little bit of Hollow Knight, maybe about 30 minutes of
that
it.
Game looks so fucking good.
It's pretty good. Would I
want to look this up right
recommend
now.
It over like Ori and the Blind Forest? No. Mm-hmm. Ori's better in terms of graphics, in terms of control, I think, stuff. Still, Hollow Knight is very good. It is kind of a Metroidvania thing. There was a Kickstarter for it like maybe 2 years ago. I think I chipped into it. I have to manage my pledges and see if I did. But I played it and I was like, oh, this is really good. And like art style-wise, I quite liked it. But I kind of was like, all right, that's enough for now. Like, what else? There's a very interesting thing that popped up on Steam where I forget that I wishlisted it. And it's a game called, Bedfellows Frenzy. And I'd put on my wish list and I was like, all right, what was this? Well, you know, go back to it months later. I'm like, oh, it's this Rampage type game, basically. And I started playing it and I was like, this has some meme humor that's really, really, really on the nose. Kind of like what you were saying about Domo-kun, that game. And I'm like, it's a little much. Some of it's funny, but most of it was like, you can kind of disregard it and just play the game. And it's basically like a much more skill-based, quicker Rampage where you have to destroy buildings as fast as you can, get power-ups from them that replenish your health, and just, I was like, gameplay-wise, it's pretty good. And there's billboards on really funny billboards everywhere on buildings. And there's a billboard of us in the game.
What?
It's cool. It's all four of her heads. I can't remember if it said Super Best Friends Play. I think it was like a play on the name or whatever.
Okay.
And you just smash the billboard. And there's lots of billboards that are like little send ups to internet stuff. And some of them are a little like, eh, I wouldn't cool. do that.
Cheers.
But it was there and it surprised the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah.
And it's an okay game. But I saw that and I was like, that's without us shoving ourselves in there,
yeah,
which no. is what we usually do.
Well, that's always a really random and pleasant surprise, where it's just like, oh, what the fuck? Yeah. Like in Lisa's
right? the other one where we did nothing, and we're in there in a shapewear form. So,
fuck you guys.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. I also saw really quickly two movies because I basically can't talk about them that much. But I saw Arrival. Go see Arrival.
Of course. Yes.
Amazing.
I brought that. I said that 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
I probably wasn't there.
Yep. Go see Arrival.
Go see. Oh, you did see it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go see Arrival, Wooly.
Yeah. Okay.
it was quite good.
There are some issues, but for the sure. most part, it's a solid ass movie.
I mean,
it's
would
intelligent.
Would I see this over Independence Day Resurgence? Yes. A million times okay. over. So I really enjoyed it, and I really like Amy Adams in that movie. It was great. I also saw Get Out.
Let me guess. Go see Get Out.
Go see Get Out.
Yeah. Fucking perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. So
key directing is his first movie or whatever?
Peele.
Is it Peele? Yeah, okay. It's Peele. Jordan Peele. And just like – I didn't even see the trailer, but just the description of it as like – social horror. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that even mean?
I saw the trailer for this last year in the summer because Fantasia had a trailer for it in their thing.
Yeah.
Never wound up seeing it. So now it's like out officially, I guess. And so, yeah, I saw it. And I think there's nothing more interesting than someone from a comedic background that can make like a serious, like the go-to example is Jonathan Demme used to make a bunch of wacky 80s movies that are kind of weird comedies. And then he's like, I'll bust out a Silence of the Lambs.
Hmm.
And then because sometimes you go for someone that doesn't have experience in that field because they let go of the sensibilities they're supposed to like to make horror. Like there's, you know, horror directors, or whatever, and they can make the same thing over and over and over again. They could be good. They could be bad, whatever. But sometimes you need someone from a different background, they can make something really, really interesting. And Get Out was that, where it's like in minute five, you're uncomfortable and that uncomfortableness never goes away.
Nice.
You're not horrified per se, at least all the time. You're not like disgusted, but you're just uncomfortable and you're like, what is going on? And that's all I can say, really, because...
So can we look forward to the sequel, Get the Fuck Out, and perhaps Get the Fuck Out of Here?
Or Get the Fuck Out Again, or whatever. And guess what? There were moments that were hilarious, actually. There was like two or three moments where someone is talking to the main character that's in the scenario, and he's telling him on the phone, basically, get out. And the guy's like, no, it's fine. He's like, no, man, get out. So... It was incredibly entertaining. I really, really enjoyed it. And the last kind of thing is that you kind of know a bit about this, but I'm not going to go into details yet. But I'm working on a super big project, and we just got through a milestone of it today.
Hey.
Hopefully around maybe the podcast that we'll have either the weekend of or the weekend after PAX East, I can kind of announce officially that, like, you know, what that exactly is.
Super dope.
Yeah, you know a bit about it, but so hopefully I can announce that soon. Because like just today, like maybe an hour before I got here today, I was like, "Oh, that we're all done that thing. Okay, cool. So we can forge on ahead." Because like milestones are exactly what they are. They're milestones. And you feel good. And you feel good. So.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Austin.
Yeah. No, it feels nice to hit milestones that you've been working on for a while.
You have any milestones recently?
Yeah, well, I had a launch, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, I guess I could.
Some would say too good of a launch, and someone's getting big for their britches.
Help me shrink them down, my
britches. My britches.
They're a little too big. I guess I am playing Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 2. I'm getting back in, and you can check that out on my channel that I launched, Wooly Versus.
And for all your stuff that's too stupid for the main channel.
Yep. And I'm kind of treating the channel as a thing where, like, I'm gonna have regular releases, but I want to take more time to make sure that I want better quality, lower quantity.
Yeah.
Right? And like, by better quality, I mean just like committing to the shit and making it as like terrible as it needs to be to the maximum. And someone dropped a quote in one of the threads that like resonated really well with me, and it's like, Wooly has gained the ability to abandon dignity and turn the comedy up to 11.
There you go.
And so, I'm like, yeah, okay, I will shed my dignity for an extra point in comedy.
Sometimes stat. You need to lose everything to get anything.
Yeah, you got to strip your armor off to do a fast roll.
Yeah.
Right?
And the hilarity that might ensue because of that decision.
Absolutely. So that's sometimes good. You got to strip your dignity off to get a perfect comedy role.
I would say like the meter has to go past zero and then it goes back around.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, at a certain point, you shed all of it and you just become one with the green screen.
Yeah.
Currently, green screen is the MVP of the channel. It's right over there.
I gotta say, I admire the dedication.
Thank you. Thank
I can't you. Wait till the rebranding green screen versus.
It's just the real hero of the channel. Oh man, yeah.
There's no LPs. It's just you green screening yourself into every anime opening.
I mean, look.
Every single one.
I made a playlist. The playlist is called So I Bought a Green Screen.
There you go. Yeah.
Good.
Take it from there, you know? But yeah, I think I'm having a really good time with it so far, so good. And like, thanks to everybody who's been, you know, sending in the support and such. It's nice because for the last while, I've been always saying like, yeah, I'm working on stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd leave it at that, or I'd be like, yeah, I got more work to do, but so this is one of those things, obviously, that I've been working on for a while in the background, and it's nice to get that thing where it's now a thing you can talk about.
Because there's no point talking about when like things haven't like fully like coalesced.
Exactly. It's a weight off your chest, you know? It's something that you've been fucking holding on to for a long-ass time. And I kind of decided to steer this route because, like... I guess I didn't like streaming is something that a choice I could have done as well. Like, you know, you guys definitely have that locked down though. And I feel that like what I enjoy more is just random stupid videos, you know? And like, that's most of the time what I feel like I want to make or what I think about, or I always just get these random stupid ideas for things. So I just go, fuck it. Let me just do that instead of, you know, going the stream route.
Like, sort of me too, where should I be streaming Horizon this week? Nah. I'm going to stream some dumb thing, you know? It's kind of like, we're going to probably do, like, a quick look at Horizon on the main channel, so why?
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of just want to have an outlet for, like, you know, whatever's on the top of your head sort of stuff.
Yeah, you got to take some time to yourself and play the games for yourself.
Absolutely. You know, so I guess...
For sure.
So I guess, like, while I'm talking about it, I'll take the opportunity to, like, answer a question I've gotten in, which is, like, what the release schedule for it's going to be. And
Tuesdays and Saturdays
on Wooly Versus stuff is going to go up. But I have a rotation of like different types of shows I'm working on. So like me playing Naruto is like a main thing I'm playing, but right. It's like that's not going to go up every single Saturday. You know, like I'm going to rotate through a couple other short videos, a couple other longer form videos. I have different ideas for different types of fun shows and things. And I want it to kind of just be something you can check back in, you know, once a week or so and enjoy. It's not meant to be the same sort of long run that is the main channel.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess if you're kind of used to an LP where you're getting like multiple parts a week and such, then it's like, this is not for that. This is more like a relaxed sort of long term commitment to... Fucking Naruto. So yeah.
You know
that's it, man.
You know the meme image of like the celestial blue body in your brain getting heightened as it goes down the list of, you know what I'm talking about? It shows your brain wave.
Yeah, the new meme. Meme of 2017,
yeah.
Which is brain activity.
Activity. My favorite one right now is just like, you know, your brain activity zero. It's like completed many projects.
Yeah.
And then the last one is get thousands of ideas and never do anything with them. So it's just like get ideas, but just they go nowhere and you just keep making up ideas. Yeah. And then there's no receptacle for them to go in.
Like,
because that's amazing.
Dude, the memes have been going at like light speed this year so far, though.
Yeah, right.
Like just new memes every week, like huge
ones.
We
need them to distract us.
Yeah, absolutely.
From all the unpleasantness.
No, and I've seen people like evolving that to like the latest, to like further forms or whatever. Or like, God, what was it? It was just like, They'd show you, it'd be like Demon Souls would be like level one, and it would just go through like every different version of it. And then at the bottom was like fucking, like, not medieval. What was it? Just some trash ass game. But like they build on the maximum brain activity thing to the point where it's like you get six arms coming out and lasers are shooting in every direction. Like the mandala is opening up, you know? And it's like it takes that level of activity to beat Knack.
Is it like an old garbage from software game? Or is it like some actual garbage from someone else?
I think it was a trash like from software or something like that. That was just at the bottom of the list, and I fucking howled. Unfortunately, I'm doing a terrible job trying to explain it.
Nah, it's all right. I get it.
Yeah. New memes 2017, fresh. Yeah. Not yet dank. They're still being grown.
into.
Under the little dro like lighting where you've got like you know, like the fucking hydroponic chronic setup where you got the lights and the filter and shit. These memes need time.
They've been growing since 2015.
Yeah,
now they're ready.
So with
Emma Stone won. Yeah,
fucking Suicide Squad won an Oscar, bro.
Oscar award winning movie.
You want memes? Cue that hashtag on Twitter.
Like I just put this image of Joker, and it just said Oscar award winning makeup, and everyone couldn't believe it. So
the guy at the football game or whatever that's just rubbing his face, going like, "What?"
So here's the thing: is like my favorite post was like, "I'm really glad that all of us as a nation could finally put down all our barriers and shit on Suicide Squad one more time." Like, that was the best Twitter post I saw the night.
Yep.
Honestly, to be real though, if Suicide Squad had won something like best sound mixing, best, I don't know, something like a technical category, it's like, what? Yeah. Meh. But like the other running movie was like Star Trek Beyond, which had really great like makeup for multiple characters, not just the one, you know, pretty good makeup on Killer Croc and then no one else. Like Joker is a joke. Harley, no one.
Well, they had to, you know, they had to like perfectly paint the damage done his forehead every single time.
Put it back in makeup. Wasn't that much going on in that movie in terms of makeup aside from Killer Croc. So I'm just like, out of all the categories it could have won, like that's just, I don't think it deserved to win that. But I mean, that's just, you know, fucking preferences on awards. It's just like Star Trek. Like Star Trek Beyond, it's a pretty good movie. It's not amazing. It's better than Into Darkness. But I remember going, holy shit, look at the makeup on that fucking thing.
No, there was no like Benjamin Button this year.
No, there definitely wasn't. Or if there was, I don't remember it. Kubo lost though.
I mean, is it possible there was another Best Picture situation and they accidentally gave it to Suicide Squad?
I don't know.
You know, whatever, man.
You think a really good detective like Dick Tracy / Warren Beatty would not make such a huge mistake?
I guess all I want to know is, like, are we going to see that on the actual, like, cases for the Blu-ray now or whatever?
Almost, like, you know, Best Picture award winning La La Land.
Academy award winning Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Well, that'd be
holy shit.
Was Star Trek Beyond any good?
Yeah.
It was good? Okay. You guys came back and said it was good.
It was better than Into Darkness for sure. It feels like a very mid, like not the highest stakes Star Trek movie ever. They're just like fighting a villain, you know, and it's kind of it. But it was still, you know, pretty entertaining. Like
a Zootopia won.
I can't get mad at Kubo for losing because Zootopia is still really entertaining. So yeah. I don't know. No, that I think that's enough Oscar talk on me. I don't really care about anything.
No, that's fine. Things.
Emma Stone won. That's all I care about.
Did you check it out at all, Austin?
The Oscars?
You just looked at the memes.
You know, I did see a bunch of the memes. I didn't actually see too many movies this year. But when I was looking at the Oscar nominees like a couple weeks back, I realized that the only movies that I had seen Suicide on the list Squad. Was the Suicide Squad and the Jungle Book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we were talking about movies earlier. The only movie I saw this year so far was the Yu-Gi-Oh movie that came out kind of recently.
He commits to the bit.
I mean, look, you know, we're not.
It's not a fucking not, bit, man. It's a lifestyle.
He commits to the lifestyle.
We're not going
to
tell you to not stop talking about you.
He's back in. He can't tell you anything.
I have no high ground.
I literally dropped way too much money on a Yugi Figma that is right in front of my face right now.
You're sucking on it right now.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, I bought it.
A lollipop.
How many Switch heads does it come with?
Like 12. It's a good amount. Well, he's got like all these different, like, you know, card holding hands. But also, that movie was really fucking good. And 4Kids did a really good job dubbing it, which is a weird thing to say.
That is a very odd thing to say that no one said until now. It's weird.
It's almost like you're doing homework on Yu-Gi-Oh.
Could Arcadia be turning into a Yu-Gi-Oh only channel?
Yes, the answer
we're
is
we're going to
yes.
start unboxing booster packs and that's it. Nothing
you else. Should do what you like to do.
Dude, people fucking...
Honestly.
People click on that, don't they? People click on...
If something warrants an unboxing, people will click on it.
Like what's inside this thing? We don't know what we're
getting.
We don't
know what's inside. Yeah. Could be a severed head.
Parts of Exodia.
Yeah.
Unboxing severed head.
What would the show be called? It'd be called What's in the box?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
For a couple of my Toy Box videos, I literally have a shot of Brad Pitt going,
a leak that then turned out to be the truth is...
Which happens very rarely.
Shadow of War, the sequel to Middle-Earth Shadow of...
Mordor.
Mordor is announced for all things...
And do you think that was it was leaked and they went, oh, shit, just announce it? Or do you think this was all prepared for today?
It leaked because I think someone saw like a GameStop. No, not GameStop.
There's
Target.
A box. A Target release box.
They saw
box.
A Target thing, exactly.
But they had a big CG trailer prepared, so I assume it was for today.
Yeah, you know, sure. Why not? It's funny that, like, I guess going forward with the Lord of the Rings brand, we're just following this non-canon story.
The most non-canon thing.
Into whatever universe it's creating, you know?
I was talking to someone about this, and he's like, it would be fucking awesome if you could somehow talk to him, or he wasn't dead, and you show J.R.R. Tolkien, he's like, this is what I wanted all along. Hobbits are so lame. I just put them in to make children happy. I wanted cool guys doing shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Cellar Door Games. Oh, man.
He's like, finally, someone got it.
So I want to fast forward like 3 or 2 iterations into this franchise to the point where it's being optioned for movie rights. And then eventually that
would be so weird.
And then after the movie hits, then you get a book.
Or a novelization of the movie at the very least. Yeah,
and then you set that right on the shelf next to the Silmarillion, the Hobbit, and the goddamn Lord of the Rings.
I want to see
that future really badly.
Like 2 or 3 more games in, I could see it. Because like Shadow of Mordor is a big success. So,
Like the
fucking sick.
The Tolkien classics and then stand bullshit right next to it on the
show. And like who would play... God, I forget the ranger's name. The ranger that teams with Kellogg's Blueberry. What's his name?
Oh, shit, I just played the game like...
Italian.
Like
Italian.
Literally
Italian.
For... Yeah,
yeah, Italian and Kellogg's Blueberry. Be great. I'd watch that movie. Would you watch the movie? I'll answer for you. Yes.
Fuck it. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. You love it.
It's so weird that this
Shadow
is,
of War, you know, that's a name that we would make fun of.
Yeah, it would. But it's called Middle Earth Shadow of War.
That's fine.
Right? So they have to distinguish themselves.
I hope you go to somewhere beyond Mordor, because in the CG trailer, they go to the elf places. They go to a lot. Like, you just think about it, like, holy shit, Lord of the Rings, like, even from the movies aside, you don't even need to take those visuals. You could just make your own, whatever. But you know, you obviously want to patent them after the movies a bit, but they could go anywhere. The main game being almost always in Mordor, I believe. I never beat it. I got close, but I was always kind of like, Mordor is shit.
Yeah.
You're always stuck in shitland.
Let's go fucking do 6 stand combos in the Shire.
In the Shire. Yeah. I want to like beat up like Hobbit, like ruin Hobbit parties.
Let's go wreck Minas Tirith.
I did really appreciate the Balrog in the CG trailer. Like, fucking armored Balrog looks so cool. Balrog's my favorite. That's
pretty. you know, the systems they already have in place with Shadow of Mordor or Shadow Over Mordor would be perfect in a bigger city setting, you know, some kind of urban landscape.
Yeah, Minas Tirith, Isengard.
I platinumed Shadow Over Mordor, like, a couple months ago. So, I, like, finally played it.
So do you stay in Mordor the entire time?
I mean, there's two regions.
But, like, you're in Mordor.
But you're, yeah.
When you say Shadow Over Mordor, it makes me want to hear you say Mystara.
Or Innsmouth.
Or, like, Shadow Over Mystara.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The D&D game. Yeah. Good-ass game.
Fucking good-ass game.
Yeah, I mean, the second area is a lot more varied in, like, the terms of, like, the aesthetic and the way it looks and everything. Okay. But, I mean, like, how far did you get? Did you get really into the branding system?
The branding system? Yeah, I think I just kind of dropped it off because there are other games coming out, so, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, that game kind of seems a little Assassin's Creed-y, you know, when you start it, but that game turns into fucking, like, Pikmin on steroids at a certain point.
Right, right.
And, like, I just played the shit out of it in, like, a week. It was
great. So are you excited for this?
Yeah, actually. There are a couple weird things. Like literally, right before coming on the podcast, I looked at Twitter, and it was announced. And I'm like, oh, well, that came out of nowhere. But
I think the only thing I like more, because, like, we always laughed at the, like, I'll never forgive you for cutting out my eye. My eye. I remember my eye. It's just like, we get it. We get it. But then someone had that video of, like, I will show you the true meaning of fear. And then, like, orc, whatever, is afraid of your buff or your ability.
Yeah, because you had a buff that gameplay can't ignore.
Yeah, so
but, like, story can.
Now I'll show you the true meaning of fear. And he just fucking 180 and goes,
I never heard this, actually.
It was a really good video.
That's really good.
Super dumb.
I will show you the true meaning of cowardice.
So yeah, that comes out on August 22nd, which is sooner than I thought for
that is really soon.
Instant drop.
I would expect winter at the very latest.
Yeah, it's like game announcement and then bam.
Well, they haven't had anything going on that particular studio monolith since Shadow of Mordor. So
2017 is fucking stacked though, man. Like,
it's getting rough out there. Too much.
So we haven't heard much on the VR front, but
until today.
Until today, because, people were waiting on some numbers. And, Sony says that the PlayStation VR sold 915,000 units.
Like, since launch.
Since launch. And that's pretty close to their goal of hitting 1 million in 6 months.
So, to me, when I first heard this, I was like, that's terrible sounding. You didn't even sell a million things. And then it's like, no, that's what we were targeting. Like,
new, expensive, high-end piece of hardware. It is not going to sell like hotcakes.
It's not expensive. It's the least expensive version of it you can get. And that's why it even was this success. Because I saw another story that says this is more than the Vive and the Oculus combined.
You're committing to a really expensive lock-on cart almost, right? Where you're like, this is a really – it's a console commitment that is a peripheral.
Question, have you used yours at all?
Yeah.
I've used mine zero.
I've used it
– I've used mine quite a bit,
It's been about a month, right, since I've last popped it on. But I did find myself deleting VR games for space.
Yeah.
You know.
Not that I dislike mine, but the setup, like, I have to get rid of shit every time. And I'm like, I'm sick of doing that. And I just stopped doing it.
That being said, like games like RE7 can come out and, like, get people to dust it off and put it back on.
Sure. I mean, that was enough to get me on. And if anything, if you saw that release, fucking Here They Lie patched out VR or, you know, it patched in a non-VR version. So now people can play it without throwing up all over their dicks.
All right.
So I actually got to play that and was having fun.
Wow. Okay.
Amazing.
How about that?
Most games should have VR optional.
That was the first time that I ever felt sick playing VR was with Here They Lie.
Right.
Yeah. Those, they were.
Play it now. Then you can actually enjoy like a horror game. Yeah.
But I'm a coward.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I don't want.
It was the gold standard.
I actually
in
it's a gold standard of throwing up on your dick
and throwing up on your dick and fucking up.
You never played that one, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I tried it for a little bit,
and was I can't remember. I thought you strangely said nothing happened with you.
No. I did not like it.
Okay, all right.
And Eagle Flight still leaves me feeling a little bit weird. So I kind of, I unfortunately couldn't fight through that.
You know, if you see it on Steam, there's always some type of 3D beat 'em up thing that's mm-hmm. getting released on Steam for Oculus or Vive, whatever, all the time, and some of them look radical. Oh, yeah. mm-hmm. They could be stupid, I don't know, but I can't play them.
Dude, there's Google Earth VR, and I'm like, fuck. Because they show you the trailer for that, and it's like, because you know, it's Google Earth, you're like, oh, this is an informational tool, whatever. It's like, no, the trailer is just like, you're flying! You're having fun in the dream! Oh, it's the Grand Canyon! I'm like, fucking Google. They know exactly why people want to get this and dick around with it.
Yeah, and that kaiju game I wanted to play, where it's right. like fun kaiju thing, and then right. it's just like it's just I have the PlayStation VR, and I'm like, I just wish more. Like, I hope with this news, some Oculus Vive games will hopefully get ported. Like, I know that's kind of I want my cake and eat it too, but like, they're on devices that aren't selling well, I assume.
I mean, look, we know now what the high bar is. We know that, like, just under 1 million people are who they're trying to sell their games to. So any commitment that a studio makes towards VR has to be one that can, I guess, afford to make that much, that to sell that many units and be profitable.
Yeah.
And be worth it, you know? Like, a game like Battlefront's Star Wars, like, mission.
Yeah.
A full version of that game would be fucking incredible.
You mean like all in VR?
In full VR, right? A multi-mission, like, full experience.
That Star Trek game keeps getting delayed and delayed.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Well, it doesn't look fucking great. But,
there's
a dumb factor to it that I enjoy.
Yeah, but the quality of the models looks terrible.
Yeah.
But with the Star Wars thing, like, a full experience like that would be incredibly expensive. And it's like, I don't know if, like, 900... Or, I mean, even half of that. Like, if you sold to, like, half of the people that had a PSVR,
well, because it means you're...
I don't know if it'd still be worth
it. It means you'll never sell more than that hardware.
Exactly.
And that you can't spend that much money, because we know nowadays that 1 million sales is not enough to get profit back on a super expensive game.
On a AAA.
If Horizon sold 1 million copies, it would be, like, the biggest failure ever. Yeah. Even though, like, just a few years ago, 1 million would be pretty good.
So it's unfortunate, you know, because, like, you got a taste for what an amazing VR game could be like with that X-Wing demo. Mm-hmm. I guess.
But at the same time, with VR in general, you kind of have... I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of just VR being an option as opposed to games being designed around VR, like with Resident Evil 7.
Right, yeah.
That way that they can double dip, because, you know, VR games, like, they're not profitable on their own, especially for smaller studios. You know, they sell them for a shit ton of money and they don't make that money back. And, like, that's why we're not seeing a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the game I'm waiting on, Summer Lesson,
that's a good ass game.
Or rather, the English version.
But, I wish you could swap out the girl to be like Jin Kazama.
Or like the blonde girl that we've seen in that trailer.
No, Jin Kazama.
Oh, yeah, that's fine too.
Well, what? Any, you who?
I want to sit
any,
with Jin.
Any Tekken or Dead or Alive character.
But Steve Fox could use some.
Yeah, you know, fine.
Wipe the sweat off of Steve's brow.
You get Steve, I'll get Jin. And ring. We can swap.
You know,
see, I don't know why you said Summer Lesson, because we have Ace Combat 7.
We do have that.
Oh, that's true.
But, like, I want after you do a good job wiping the sweat off, he goes, thanks, love. And he winks at you.
Thanks, love.
And you get to, like, look away bashfully.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You're selling me.
Yeah.
Selling me.
Yeah. No.
I want a Sonic-O VR game.
Hmm.
Like that.
I'm wondering.
I bet Sonic Omi is playable in VR, TBH. Sonic.
I'm wondering though if there would be, like, if you're gonna see games that, like you said, they're gonna add VR as an option, right? I'm wondering if you're gonna see it the other way around too, where some VR games are gonna be like, maybe we should add
that's
non-VR, like Here They Lie.
Like, you know? But I'm not sure if they did that for Here They Lie because, hey, this isn't profitable, let's put it out. Or, hey, maybe we should take out the mode that makes people die.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Or give that as a lot of those games. I don't know which one is which, but.
A lot of those games use Move controllers, so they wouldn't really be able to do it unless they completely redesign the control scheme. Like,
Yeah, I guess so.
Carnival Games VR or like Rigs might work, but it just becomes.
I mean, if the studio that made Rigs was still around, Sony shut them down a few weeks ago. So
really,
yeah, they shut down.
Damn.
Yeah. And I guess comparatively, we have the numbers. Oculus Rift sold 243K and 420K.
Like how it says nice in the Destructoid article.
Yeah. Oculus. Nice. Yeah. So. No, PlayStation VR is absolutely leading.
That's staggering that HTC Vive outsold the Oculus. That's crazy. What's the reason there?
Because if you're buying one of the two, you're committing to a really high price point, right?
Yeah, I know. I imagine the highest price point would be the least selling one.
You're not wrong, but I don't know. Perhaps the fact that you're getting the full room scale
tech
with it. Right,
and you've said it's Oculus, the best device
the most impressive to me, which Oculus does have now, but they added it a bit later. But Vive was pushing that from day one as well. Things. Maybe once you're at the point where you're choosing between those two, it's like the money's not an issue for you. You're committing to the tech. You know, really, really surprising to see that because, yeah, you would think price would rule.
Especially the price that's that big of a difference
versus Vive. Too. But no, it's saying yeah, we're looking at the Vive selling almost double. What the Rift sold. So,
yeah.
In any case,
that's nuts.
No, VR. I don't know. I just don't know. Until there's that Jin Kazama game, what's up?
We got a cool little tidbit.
What's your tidbit, sir?
That is gonna give us a little bit better of a clue what Death Stranding is going to be about.
Oh, okay, yeah, I saw a bit of this.
And Kojima basically was like, it's actually
barely anything,
pretty straightforward. But it's pretty much just get your head out of the clouds. It's an action game. It's an open world game with a lot of freedom, is what he says.
So MGS5.
If you're a fighter, there's plenty of opportunity for that. But if you're not that type of player, there's other ways you can play the game. I can't say much more. But it's an open world action game that's very intuitive to play. So you're we're not getting something that's breaking the mold on genre. It's gonna be third person camera, maybe shoot bang.
Hopefully gonna take the best part of MGS5, the gameplay and the general design of it, I guess. And because they just finished most of these team members have just finished it, so why not? It makes sense. I mean, I kind of wish they're doing an adventure game like Snatcher or something something.
Yeah,
but Metal Gear Survive, yeah.
Oh god.
They got to conform to modern audiences a little bit.
Reminder that Metal Gear Survive exists.
I was going to say, at first, I didn't know what you said.
Reminder.
That's a thing.
Oh, boy. Oh, shit. You can get in vehicles.
I would not mind if Death Stranding comes out and you download, put the disc in your whatevers, your PS4s, and all it actually is a series of videos of Mads Mikkelsen and Deus Demon just palling around. I wouldn't actually mind.
I'd pay for it.
I'd pay for that. Because all those pictures of them hanging out and just being cool buddy friends and just doing weird stuff, it's that's kind of more entertaining than anything you could ever make. No.
You want...
I mean, the newest episode of Hideo 2 was, Mads Mikkelsen, Denmark's national treasure. I don't know where the fanfics are supposed to go from there, honestly.
Because they're already being written, reality.
Mm.
In the real world, so, yeah.
And he definitely, when they asked him about it and stuff, I like how he was pretty much, unlike, say, Norman Reedus, who's like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan, I love this stuff and whatnot.
He's like, I have no idea who this man is.
Yeah, he got, I think he said, his kid or someone in this family was like, oh, no, it's a really big deal, you should do it. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it. And I'm like, that's exactly what happened to Raul Julia.
Yeah, his kids were like, yeah, do it.
Family just went no, do it, it's cool. And he's like, okay, right.
Japanese creators have done this in the past. Kenji Eno created D and Enemy Zero, those games, passed away a few years ago. I remember this story where he was taught, he really wanted this one like Hollywood composer that made the score, I think, for The Pianist or some movies around that time frame, and just wouldn't leave him alone. Just bugged him and bugged him, and just spent like 3 hours in a hotel room discussing, like, this is what I want you to score my game. And he's fine. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Whoever you are.
Kojima just starts tweeting about them incessantly.
Incessantly.
Like, to the point where, like, Kojima's just, he's just retweeting official trailer tweets from whatever, like, Warner Pictures or any of the official production companies now.
The day I'll fucking freak out is if Kojima starts posting a lot of Emma Stone pictures. I'll be like, she's in! She's in!
Got him!
Got him! Best Kojima tweet, in my opinion, is...
Which one of the Godzilla ones?
None Godzilla ones. I don't think they're cool, but that they're not like this.
Okay.
This was like, so excited to see Don't Breathe. I kept telling the teller I want tickets to see Don't Please twice. Was so embarrassed I couldn't breathe. He's so excited to see Don't Breathe. Oh, he kept saying Don't Please.
Come in, amazing. Come in a second.
It's my favorite.
We have a little minor news, but Irrational is now known as Ghost Story Games.
Ken Levine's company.
Yeah, Bioshock.
Yeah.
For a second, I was like, Irrational?
Yeah. It's been a while. It's specifically the inner circle of people from
whoever didn't leave during Bioshock Infinite.
Type of thing. So 12 former Irrational game developers, including Ken Levine and some of their production people on Bioshock, are now.
And the quote is, our games will have a strong appeal to fans of Bioshock. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, there's not much else to say about it for now. But
I love at the end of the list of there's just these two testers. They must be the greatest testers ever to have taken guys, Oleg and Tom. Guys are awesome.
They got in. Yeah.
Imagine you're that guy.
Yeah. Like, everyone says we're marching out, we're forming a new ship, we're doing the yacht club thing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and we're these two testers, and these two guys in the QA trenches are like, yeah.
And then just like on their fucking rolly chairs, just going, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Everyone else, put your heads back down. But
go back to working on whatever bullshit we're doing. Oh. But no, I mean, it's here's the thing. Is it being dissolved into this, or are they just renaming themselves, or are they starting a whole new company and they just left Irrational?
Again, it's rebranding is what they're calling it.
It's rebranding. Okay. So Take Two has announced the formation.
But it's not the whole team. It's a select elite group. Okay. So it's a bit of a weird step.
So it's Irrational rebranded Irrational Games. So I guess they got rid of a bunch of people.
Yeah,
it's
a rogue faction.
Yeah.
It's a band.
Rogue Nation.
It sounds like one of those awkward breakups is what it
sounds
like.
It sounds a little messy, yeah.
But that's their Ghost Story now.
Ghost Story Games. That's I don't mind that that name for your developer.
I don't hate any of the Bioshock games.
I don't hate them either.
They're at worst they're kind of disappointing while still being pretty cool in other ways. So
I really like the first one. I think I still
heard a lot
think
of
that's
good
a good
things
game.
About the first one.
Yeah. They all have crippling flaws while being overall pretty decent to good. I think the first one's ending, of course. And, whatever, we're fucking retreading Bioshock talk.
2007.
We get it. We all know. We've been down this road.
So there you go.
In the meantime, I need to pay attention or call attention to a game that I could have named myself, but I didn't.
Oh, is this one of your titles?
You're going to have to take my word for it that I didn't name or invent this game.
Oh, okay. All right.
But when you look at the naming conventions, it seems legit. I'm now loading up.
I'm very excited.
Hold on a minute. Here we go.
All right.
Dunk Lords!
I thought of that name.
There is a game.
I think.
announced called Dunk Lords.
I did not see this. Is this just the fucking
DunkLords.com. And Dunk Lords.
You might be able to ball, but can you fight?
Dunk Lords is 2v2 basketball.
Beat 'em up.
With also beat 'em up techniques.
Special moves.
And Smash Brothers mechanics.
Is there screenshots?
Mixed in.
Is this character art right now?
No trailer, but we
that
have.
That looks like a screenshot.
We have that. We have some screenshots.
That looks cool.
And we have some dumbass shit going down on the court. So.
If you're not seeing this, Austin, it looks like Sega Soccer Slam a little
bit.
Yeah,
go to dunklords.com. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm looking at it.
I'm
looking
waiting
at
for
it.
A trailer.
I see this strawberry
I'm
man.
Waiting
yeah,
for a trailer.
There you go. That.
But,
that's awesome.
This might be cool. This
just
might be
windjammer all the sports.
Absolutely. Take
all of it.
You know, or like some of the coolest shit with Street Volume 3. Or
yeah.
Street Volume 2, mm-hmm. You know, and just like. Amp it up, bring back the NBA Jam buttons.
It just makes me sad we never got that game that's like this. That was the WWE one that got canceled, like the Power Stone one.
Yeah,
where
no, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's a bit of a shame.
That's a sport, technically.
But
windjammer it up.
Yep. At the end of the day, it's really all about a name. And when you have a strong name, you at the very least
Dunk
catch
Lords
my
is
attention.
Super, you, and
this game's called fucking Dunk
Lords.
You were
so right about this is something I think you would come up with. I'm actually convinced you might have something to do with this project.
Oh, man. You caught my eye. You drop a name like
and that's
that.
That's a solid-ass logo, too.
It's not a bad one.
Damn.
What are the details on when this is dropping? I think...
Arcade mode, story mode.
Steam in early 2018.
Fine.
Yeah, so this is one of those things.
And it's
where,
not a Kickstarter or anything. It's just announced.
No, it's just being worked on, and we're gonna forget about it. And then one day there's gonna be a quick look at fucking Dunk Lords on the channel, and that'll be that.
I don't know if you're looking at the About Me, but this was made by the lead programmer of Spelunky. I don't
really?
Know if that's
that's
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's Spelunky HD specifically.
Cool.
There you go, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Story Fort games. That sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Omen of Sorrow and Dunk Lords.
Keep your eyes out. that's
Omen
the future.
Of Sorrow.
Fuck the rest.
Shut up, why you laugh? Omen of Sorrow coming soon.
So, here's something a bit random, but it's cool, because it hasn't existed in a while. They're in conjunction with Tekken 7. We're getting a Tekken 7 comic book.
Okay, that's cool.
And,
I don't think Tekken is out of comic book.
No. Or at least, no. I think they did a long time ago. But there's some new... let me see if I can get some decent pictures to show you, Matt. But I'm putting a link to the Event Hub story in the docket. But it's Western-style art, and... It's fine.
What Tekken was always meant to be.
Yeah, and I think
that's a pretty sick cover.
Yeah,
Heihachi fighting Double Jin.
Exactly. And I think, you know, like, this looks like something that I'd be curious to read and see where this goes. You know, there's a cover like, the three fighting while the rest of the cast is just a mountain of bodies beneath
what's
them.
What's ongoing? Street Fighter is still ongoing right now.
Street Fighter Cross
there was,
versus Darkstalkers, is it?
That's a new thing, but I think Unlimited's still going on. And then that Mortal Kombat DC comic, which is terrible, but in a good way. Because it's Mortal Kombat,
yeah.
So...
If you want your edgy Devil Jin, like...
That's cover, my edgy Devi!
You got that there for you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, and a nice Yoshimitsu
versus
fighting...
Nina.
Do you see this big movement around Anna?
No.
There's all these people that are like Anna for Tekken 7. And I'm like, Anna?
Yeah, if people like it.
But
no one wants to lose a character.
No one wants to lose a character. I totally understand
Roy's
that.
Roy's our boy.
But like,
he's
she is just like, I mean, just a twin of Nina, and she's similar fighting style. I never expected.
If you're a main of a character for the specific
fair enough.
Details they have, that's what you want.
Fair enough.
So there's some inside some pages are not just
gameplay
covers.
Art.
Gameplay, exactly. so the actual inside panels
it's pretty good.
Are pretty good. That's not just the covers. Like I really like the style, and it's very Western.
Who's putting this out?
I don't know.
Well, back up to the story.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to the information.
I just interested.
Yeah, it's pretty good art. Like, oh, that's the main thing. I was like, okay, your covers are pretty, but what's going on as far as the actual inside goes? And I'm like, oh, that's pretty dope. So yeah, I want to know what's gonna go on here. I want to see if Akuma is gonna be part of this comic. He has to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe we'll be able to talk about this on that thing we're planning.
Maybe we can talk about it somewhere. Maybe we can talk about it somewhere.
But can you click?
It's Titan Comics.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can pull up the details on this,
because I'd be surprised if it's Marvel and DC. I kind of think it's probably not.
It's set to launch with the game, and it's being published by Titan Comics.
Oh, Titan Comics. Yeah, Titan puts out a lot of art books and stuff. Mm-hmm.
What are they behind in terms of comics?
Comics, I don't remember, but they put out most of the art books. They put out like Assassin's Creed art books and stuff like that. They're like the two big players are like Dark Horse Comics puts out tons of art books and shit, but okay. In terms of comics, I don't know what else.
Okay, I'm seeing Adventure Time, Rick and Morty, Steven Universe.
Oh shit, there you go.
So, and Doctor Who.
Oh,
so yeah, they've got some pretty huge titles on their
fucking stocks. Cool. I did not know about this.
And
this
Regular Show and Over the Garden Wall and Clarence and Uncle Grandpa.
So all the fighting games,
straight like Cartoon Network and Adult Swim,
all the gritty fighters.
Yeah. And Assassin's Creed as well.
There you go.
Cool. And, oh no.
What's the last one?
Uh-oh. And Dark Souls.
Oh, that Dark Souls comic. I've heard good things.
Ooh.
Anyway, yeah.
That makes sense then. Well, that makes sense. Namco. For
yes,
both. So they'd go to Titan Comics if they're happy with them.
Yeah, that's true. Why wouldn't they go with them?
I would love to read. Me, actually being a Tekken fanfic writer back in the days of Tekken 3, I'm very excited to read Tekken Comics.
Oh, yeah, you've got your stripes. That's true.
I know. I was in there. Mm. I was writing.
See, I was more of a Smash Bros. Fic kind of guy.
And now Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm. You've moved on. Moved up.
Yeah, we should compare.
We should compare later. I don't have the files anymore.
All I need to know.
Yeah, I know they're on fanfiction.net.
All I need to know is what the tags are on your respective stories.
mine were like Tekken, fighting games, martial arts, and lemon.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, mine was just Smash Brothers and Vore.
Good times.
Yes.
There's a rumor, and I don't know if it's
strong
true,
rumor.
But someone somewhere, and that someone is saying that Shenmue and Shenmue 2 might be re-released digitally in 2017. This source is a trusted quote-unquote source close to Atlas USA. Not verified. This is just a rumor, and I hate bringing up rumors on the podcast. I'm not a fan of it. But this is getting pushed around a couple places.
At the very least,
we can go like...
I've read in the past that a listing for a Shenmue 1 and 2 HD was back on the Xbox Live market, like the dev version of it. Remember the version we had access to in testing? That first popped up back in 2010. That was first like a possibility.
Okay.
To have those re-released in HD or something. So like I think absolutely this is probably coming, and it makes perfect sense because, hey, everyone, want to play Shenmue 3? Well, you have some catching up to do, motherfuckers.
Well, and also more like just the realistic fact that it's like, okay, people that are interested in Shenmue 3 that we want to sell this to, how many of you were alive when the first two games came out?
Liam? No? Okay. Austin? No?
Here, play this.
I absolutely, because I've been dying to replay like Shenmue's, either of them, like in some form, like a stream or never came up. And it's like, now I'll take your advice of just wait.
Yeah.
Better version of what you want will be out soon.
I don't even want to replay them. I just want to finish two.
You just want to finish two.
I got to the last disc of two and then I fucking stopped because I had enough. Like, I really just had enough.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I like Shenmue.
No, it's got some bad flaws, and like not the least of them is the fucking shitty writing and the fact that Landy is just this ethereal face in the sky that literally flies off in a helicopter.
And but everything just like, you're describing to me is like, I really like the sound of it.
Oh my god, it's the worst.
I played a couple hours of Shenmue 1 and never played 2.
At the end of the day, like the memory of Shenmue is strong, but then the moment-to-moment Shenmue is, let's go collect items and weird mirrors and like trading pieces for pieces to eventually get to a location where the bad guy's gonna be for half a second.
That's life.
Okay.
That's how a quest to find the killer of your father would go.
But then you're trading for the whole game for this combat mechanic system that's going to have like the 100-man battle.
Yeah.
Get ready for the 100-man battle.
Yeah, what happens?
And it fucking happens.
Yo, you
gotta
look at it with context, man.
And you get this battle, and then it's like, all right, and then that's it. And okay. Every other fight is just like minimal, and I just...
I get it, but I have this like weird soft
spot
in my heart.
I'm salty about specific parts of Shenmue.
Maybe though, I've also read a bit about the story, and I read something like maybe there'll be changes, and it makes sense. Why not change it if you can? But maybe they can't. Maybe they just have like the dumps of the game or whatever. But regardless,
it's definitely a relic.
Yeah,
because I mean the game's from 99.
But I'm a relic, Austin.
You're not that old.
Fucking, you know, lucky hit and.
You want to play a game of
Carrying
Lucky Hit?
The boxes?
I know. But I like Ryo. I think all the dialogue's charming and fun, but I recognize its stupidity and its oldness.
I feel like Yakuza is the proper, like,
I think those are very
solution.
Different. I think those are very different games.
They
to be
are,
fair.
But the similarities, if you just want to have that slice of life with
but,
combat in
mean,
it, bullshit...
But,
and over the topness when occasionally, I think you can go to Yakuza and be sated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that all the fans that wanted Shenmue 3 would disagree with you.
Yeah, and here's the problem: I want Shenmue 3.
Mm.
I care about Shenmue. I don't. It's not that I hate Shenmue.
No, I played both.
I just had these moments of like, stop. Stop doing this to me.
I just think there's like this, like for a slow, like. For a slow paced, like, yeah, long game quest, I think there's like certainly a market for that. And I'm not going to say that like Shenmue 1 or 2 is perfect and does that perfectly
yeah.
well. But I mean, mm-hmm. to me, like, Yakuza is GTA.
Yeah.
And
no, it might be unfair to compare them. You're not wrong. It might be. But I guess I just like, I just wish that it was firing on all cylinders.
Absolutely.
And there's moments of just like, oh my God, I have to run down and fucking. Feed this cat, and Nozomi is just like a robot.
Yeah,
and
okay,
you know
Nozomi's not great.
Get in the crane, drive it.
Anyway, all right.
What else we got?
That's fine. That's it. Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I mean, I was gonna bring up like Neo sold a million, and then they have a little special gold armor if you go download.
Little special gold armor
if you go check it out. There's stuff, but that's it. Let's take some letters, man.
Yeah, let's take a bunch of letters if we can.
Let's take some letters.
Where do we send these letters,
Austin?
You send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's perfect.
You nailed it.
I did it. Yeah. I did the
that
thing.
Was perfect.
Thanks, buddy.
Can't have asked for better.
Okay. So...
Am I getting paid?
We're going to take our first one
from
Wes.
Wes.
Dear fuck you, Patricia, Xenosaga is a great trilogy cast. Well,
okay.
Not here to defend himself. this is your fucking listener from podcast episode
Wow, Wes.
I've listened through your entire repertoire of podcasts 4 times.
Cool.
Crazy.
It's great background noise, but to the question. In 149, you made a straw poll about Pokemon Hustle or Pokemon Flow.
Right.
And that. You, and what were you guys going to do with that poll, and what was the outcome? And to expose your balls even more, you did not talk about it in episode 150 like you said you would. Well,
This is an email from someone that actually did what he said and listened to everything 4 times.
Yep. What I can say is the winner of that poll... That poll was canceled... By the fact that Pokemon Respect came into existence not long after. And
but,
Pokemon Respect is the final winner of everything.
But up until that point, what was winning? Do you remember? This is the type of guy that wants an answer, dude.
Yeah, I think it was. It might have been Hustle. Okay. I think it might have been Hustle. Because people like that.
I think that word is more over than flow.
People like that Rick Ross picture a bit more than they like Andre. But doesn't matter because Pac was on Pokemon Respect and you just can't get around that.
Okay.
So that's...
Why wasn't it talked about on the next podcast?
I don't know. We had shit to do.
just
fuck you off for me.
I just feel like if we don't answer this email perfectly, this guy's gonna come back at us. Well, that's all I'm saying.
We got one coming in from Jordan says, dear moderately and adequately acquainted close acquaintances. Did you know that in 2010 someone may have had the great idea to make a live action American adaptation of the King of Fighters movie? In a film format that's available on Netflix. It features Terry Bogard and Mai as the best agents FBI has to offer. Mm-hmm. Also, Kiyo and Iori are in it.
Yes.
Yep. We knew that. We've watched it.
I've forced people to watch it.
And
even.
We've joked about it many times. I think, and if you ever hear us making an ice skating Darth Maul joke, it's.
Which we have several times.
That's because we know about this movie.
Yeah. I even did that little Terry video of FBI agent Terry with all of his dialogue replaced with Terry sound effects from the various games. And it still makes me laugh to this day.
There you go. So, safe to say we've watched every live-action fighting game adaptation.
Do you think there's one that you haven't? Have you seen DOA?
I've seen DOA.
Okay.
I've seen King of Fighters. Oh, I've seen Street Fighter. I've even seen fucking Legend of Chun-Li.
You saw Tekken?
I saw Tekken.
We didn't see Tekken 2.
I didn't see Tekken 2.
There was a second live-action. Okay. No, let me make sure.
No, there was a Tekken 2.
Wait, that could have been a dream.
I don't know. I didn't hear about it, but I did see Tekken 2.
The movie,
and for some reason, because like people bring up the KOF movie a bunch sometimes, and kind of like, but I just want to clarify that yep, we've totally seen these and know about them, and they're dumb.
They're great, all of them. Don't listen to this man.
I don't even know. Are there any others that I'm missing? But I feel like I've seen them all anyway. DOA is fantastic because it knows how dumb it is.
Yes,
and
it
leans into it. It steers into it, and that's the best. It's the only way to treat it. Anyway, you see what you find or don't.
Next question.
Yeah, that's fine.
I swear there was a second one.
Cody wants to know. Excuse me, Shinobi Phoenix wants to know.
That's awesome.
What fictional evil corporation are you willing to accept sponsorship from? You can't keep it a secret. It'll have to be very public. And however people react.
Kaiba Corp.
Of course it's going to be fucking... Okay.
He builds a fucking space station in the new movie, man. Kaiba Corp. He's got the fucking money.
All right. Matt?
Sorry. I was looking up the dumb Tekken thing.
Does Tekken 2 as a movie exist?
Yes, it does. It's Tekken 2 Kazuya's Revenge and was directed by Winch Kaus and was released on DVD August 12th, 2013.
Great. I have.
I'm gonna have to force you to watch that.
Sorry,
what was the question again? I apologize.
What fictional evil corporation were you willing to accept sponsorship from, but you can't keep it a secret? It has to be very public.
Fictional.
I'm gonna say Team Rocket. I'm down with that. You know, I mean, assume
there are worse teams.
Yeah, assuming they're they're pretty incompetent, but like if you're not incompetent, then maybe you can do shit with their money.
Team Skull.
Right. There are no Team Skull.
Team Skull. Yeah. That's an obvious one.
Yeah, I guess.
With the Pokemon theme. I think that's like another one.
I don't think Team Skull can afford your sponsorship.
They cannot. they cannot.
I really doubt it. Yeah.
There's got to be some. Force. Evil Force in Metal Gear Solid Revengeance.
Oh, Desperado?
Desperado.
You're not fucking good enough for Desperado.
Sure not, but I can answer anything in the question.
The moment you have your name on that list, someone's coming to saw you in half.
That's
man.
True. But Desperado is so cool.
Yeah.
Like specifically, like Maverick security concern, security holdings, whatever. Like almost any bad Metal Gear group is still cool.
You know? I was going to say, what are the perks of being a member of the Army of the Red Ribbon?
Mishima Zaibatsu.
Now that sucks. You're just a fucking soldier grunt man that stands
in
line. But I'm
just sponsored. Are we working for them or are we sponsored?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like...
I don't want to be a soldier.
Cause
coward.
I guess I feel... I'm trying to... in my head, it's like whenever...
I thought this podcast is brought to you by the Mishima Zaibatsu, I thought.
Okay. Well, in that case, I mean, yeah.
Ultra Tech.
Ultra Tech's not bad.
Okay, good.
Ultra Tech's not bad.
I'm glad I got one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Buy your Riptor.
Oh, today. Shinra.
He just, Austin just came in right under there before the door closed.
That's the most evil.
But that's the thing is, it's like you have to publicly be supported by horrible murderers. And
fuck it. Let's go.
I think those are all solid.
We drop cities.
Shinra dropping cities.
Yeah. Let's take one from...
I'm going to watch that Tekken movie. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Let's take one from Levi. He says, you're given the choice, dear Giant Bomb Montreal.
Oh, someday.
You're given the choice of any vehicle from fiction, but you're given no instructions on how to drive or pilot it, which means trial and error or even crashing and dying horribly. Which do you pick? So my instinct says... to go with BT, right? Because BT's protocol is to keep you alive. So if you fuck up, he's there to save you. And there's a great replay that just happened of like someone playing a multiplayer and like stealing a battery and jumping off of the map and their auto titan dashing forward and catching them before they fall off. It's fucking sick.
Whatever science is around said vehicle that keeps the pilot alive the most, I think, is the safest.
That's the thing, right? And so I feel like that's a good one. But
you should have an answer where, like, you can die easily.
Well, because here's the thing. It's not like, you know, BT takes a couple shots, and then you got to change the battery or you're dead.
Yeah.
And if you don't have your jumpsuit and all that cool shit, you're fucking done.
Yeah.
So my other extreme goes straight to Jehuti, where you might be locked in the goddamn cockpit, and it's incredibly dangerous, but if you can figure it out, you're a god.
Mm.
And I'm going to say... compromising both of those things, fuck it. Gurren Lagann, spiral energy, willpower.
Yeah.
Willpower means you're okay.
You could pilot that.
You just have to care enough.
You and I could pilot that.
All you have is two little things to push and pull.
Austin could
and
pilot
click
it.
And just give enough of a shit deep down in your heart.
I could do it.
Get hype enough that you win.
Yeah. That's good.
That's kind of the free answer there.
If I could be in one that's like not fuck it, like I might die, but it's like I think I'll be okay, is like the Falcon from Battle Clash. I really like that, like the design, and that guy is like filled with all the electronics in the background. He's like just pressing buttons like a madman.
Another like
you know a Jaeger. Big fan of Jaegers, and there's a big risk reward on Jaegers.
You gotta be with somebody. You gotta be exactly
Lyanna.
No, oh yeah, you gotta drift and get all that going.
Right.
I feel like Razaphon as well is a decent answer because that's a very like protect the pilot type of mech to be in.
Is there any actual vehicles, or are we all gonna pick mechs?
Austin.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of gonna pick a mech. If we're going for two, man. This is kind of safe just because of the nature of the show, but Liger Zero from Zoids would be pretty cool. You know, run around a big mech tiger. But also, my big fuck it one would probably just be the Idian.
From,
you know, Space Runway Idian. Yeah. Might as well just destroy the entire universe. Let's go.
If you want to be fucking Ground Zero, that's not a bad one, dude. Like, that's the thing is, like, you kind of default to, like, universe resetting mecha.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you want to pilot Mazinger Zero? Okay. You know,
let's go.
Do you want to fucking jump in Gunbuster? Sure. you might not like what happens when you get too far away from the Earth, but you can do some shit. And of course, there's.
Okay, but who's going to win? Gurren Lagann or Idian?
Now, here's the problem.
Like, if we're going to fight.
Well, I mean, look, it's willpower, right? I don't know. you can pilot an Ava, but. You know what that fucking means.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say that. That's spoilers.
Yeah, so don't. But I think that's fine. And I think one more throwaway answer when I'm like saying fuck safety would be Big O. Because
if you don't know
what you're doing, you're gonna eat shit. But if you get the basic concept of punching shit and shooting lasers out, then you'll be fine.
I always like the Batwing. I feel I'd start screaming in the Batwing. Like, Batmobile's fine. I could drive a car if I'm forced to. I want to get into, like, some complicated aerial vehicle and just start screaming. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Okay. And I like classic Batwing, not like Nolan Bat, like bulky whatever Batwing, whatever the fuck that was. I mean the one that goes in front of the moon to look cool. You know?
Oh, Demon Bane. I'd love to pilot Demon Bane. That's a really good one, too.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm getting carried away.
Willie's feeling a new... Willie's feeling a new show coming on.
Oh, what do you want to pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even say a vehicle. I mean, we threw all the Metal Gears under the bus with, with that question. Because, again, it's like there's either pilot safety or fuck it, I'm going to die. It might as well
be
awesome.
Here's the thing. I like Rex way more than Rey, but I'd rather pilot Rey. Because you have way more nobility.
Yeah,
nobility,
a tank. No, that's smart. That's smart. Yeah, Rex looks cooler, but Rey will keep you safer.
Aliver.
And you can go on. You can dive underwater if shit's getting tough.
If you're a coward like you or me, Rey is for you.
And just unless you're fighting Snake, in which he can swim after you and stick a
Does
fucking
this extend
tracer
to like
on you and swim back.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here, Snake.
Yeah, I mean, if we're saying things like the Batwing, then we could also include like the Mach 5.
Yeah,
this is like a jungle hat. Racer X is on the curb. Yeah,
yeah. I'm talking fucking the Wachowskis. Racer, okay.
Yeah, again, like throwing safety to the curb. You can do that. You can absolutely do that.
Because there's some vehicles that are not interesting characters you like. It's like, hey, I want to drive a Predator ship, so could turn invisible. That's about it. I mean, Wonder Woman could do that. Like, would I want to drive the Punisher's battle van? I guess just so I can go, hey, battle van, get over here. Like, if you're like the Fox Kids Spider-Man, but like, battle van's not that cool. But so it's like, what left is there? Are there any
Borg
Street
Cube?
Fighter vehicles?
Can we pilot that?
The fucking Ryu car from the G.I. Joe place?
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe.
Ken's battle boat.
Are we counting like a Borg cube? Can we pilot one of those?
But then you have to assimilate, right?
That's
No, but are we sponsored by the Borg?
I don't think they take out spots.
That would be a podcast.
I don't think they take out spots. I don't know. Like, you know.
You know what's really great? Being assimilated, folks.
Yeah.
Me and Wooly here.
Today's Fredcast is brought
to you by the Borg.
7 of 9 might sell a few people.
Yeah, man, no, 7 of 9 could. Maybe not nowadays, but she could back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, sponsored by the Borg. That's rough to get over with the crowd.
I'd fly a Dendrobium. The fucking giant ass.
Dendrobium.
It's from Gundam. It's like the huge giant backpack with the crazy ass war machine lasers and the huge beam sabers and it's this fucking over the top ridiculous Gundam. And it just looks like too much. So you see someone flying it into battle, and you go, "Why?
Why?" Okay. I'd pilot Metal Wolf. What am I talking about? What am I high?
Ooh.
Oh, I'd be playing Metal Wolf inside Metal Wolf.
Yeah.
As some type of thing to make me laugh only.
There's an Xbox in there. anyway, we can answer this question forever. So let's.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Is this from A. Levi? Or is it from R. Levi?
It's A. Levi.
Okay.
Okay, here's one that maybe you can help us out with, Austin.
Okay.
Jason says, "Dear Sarcastic Podcast Epithet, Jason here. I recently started playing Magic Duels. Magic the Gathering electronic version. Shut up. You guys know Warhammer. You're in no position to mock.
We don't know it at all.
I like things from it.
No, we like it, but we don't know nothing.
Yeah. We're all reposers. We're frauds.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm getting fucked in competitive. The reason is that out of...
straightforward.
There's 1,200 cards in the game, and I only have bitch starter cards. All the veteran players have God and Satan up their sleeves. A pack of 6 costs 150 fun bucks. 12 for 300, 18 for 450, etc., A competitive win gets you 30 fun bucks. AI wins get you 5, 10, or 15 script. Casuals worth nothing. There's daily quests worth 80 and 60 or 60 monies. Sometimes it only works in competitive. Sometimes it doesn't. My competitive wins are... I'm going to move on. Basically, the additional money that you get from quests is really just luck-based, and I refuse to pay re-money because it's 2 USD for one pack. So I know... because 2013 lasted several years, the game itself is going to die out soon, but he wants to get fun out of it. In this scenario, with a giant doom timer, microtransactions, and an entrenched diehard community, how would you set up an ecosystem that isn't one big dog pile of fuck on new players?
I mean, I'd say at the start of this, you could have made some changes, but if it's at the end, it's like, I don't know what can be done.
I'm not sure how to say this to you, but to me, it sounds like you should just quit. It honestly sounds like a shitty thing to get into, and there's no winning here. And if you're in a situation where you start out with a pay-to-win scenario, you're not going to get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to have to concede one of the problems that you're facing with more money or infinite time sink, knowing that it's going to eventually die. You're not going to win out of this. You kind of are just fucked.
The only other thing that could possibly work, it all depends on how communicative the devs are, but if you can rally people to actually talk and, like, I guess raise a ruckus about, you know, the points droppage and everything, or the cost of cards, you might be able to get a dialogue started at the very least.
Right. And, you know, like, obviously, I guess to more directly answer your question, the answer would be like, yeah, you don't do any of those things. You know, I in general, my problem and the reason why I haven't gotten into card games has always been because of the idea of, like, an infinitely growing deck that eventually starts making what you have obsolete as we move forward in time, where it's like you have to commit to constantly spending. You know, like, I don't like that when it comes to gameplay. I like, you know, I'm okay with, like, cosmetics and such, but Liam sort of showed me some of the games that he had where, like, this is a fixed game with a fixed deck of cards, and there's nothing that's going to be added to this.
Right.
And I love those games. All right, I love those games much more, like things like Yomi and whatnot, where you kind of and I'm not a card game player. But I'm like, if I do get into them, I like to get into something where I know there's a limited set of what you can, what exists.
It's finite.
There's no power creep, right? For fun bucks or for real money that you have to worry about, and you don't have to worry about things getting obsolete over time, because that's not what the game is balanced around. It's balanced around set pieces.
Right.
You know, yeah, man. I unfortunately think you're fucked.
I agree. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't know a lot about fucking card games, but that sounds like a losing scenario if that's what he wants out of it. But it's especially at the tail end of his life.
Save your money, go buy Secret Hitler.
True that.
And I guess we can take one last super random one.
That's the best type of random.
Super random one. Picking this fresh out of the pack.
Not been vetted. Ooh.
Dicey. Who's your favorite bad guy that's secretly a good guy? Oh, that's just a spoiler fucking question.
That's
a horrible question for a podcast. That's just going to spoiler everything.
Well, no, you can go the, you know, characters that aren't super spoiler, like Vegeta.
Yeah.
No, but it seemed like the rest of the question was going into, like, here, let me pull it back up for a second. Yeah, he's like, my example is spoilers from spoilers. So I'd rather not take the risk.
See if there's something else.
Okay.
Then.
Especially since one really good one I can think of is
spoiler. Is like the most.
So let's go with this one. Here, Matthew says, dear adverb, adjective, nouns, if you could new game plus upon dying in real life, what ability, skills, stats, and equipment and inventory would you carry over?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a fun one.
I thought about this. It's like, man,
Zach is not an item.
No, I'd carry over my wife.
That's not an item.
She's a companion. She's a party member.
You can't fit that into your inventory.
Then it becomes a selfish question. So anything alive is not an item.
No.
Okay.
What stats and such and such and such do you
care? Okay, I would keep my intelligence because, hey, this might shock people. I'm actually way smarter than I am now than I was 10 years ago.
Oh,
and
shit.
That's pretty fucked up if you think about it. But I would carry over, like, I know this is like mix and matching, but, like, I wish I could carry over, like, my general... Because like right now I have this weird knee injury. I wish I could drop that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's that and like I have like this tummy problem where I'm like I throw up every so often. I can't handle as much food as when I was like 20. But that's because you're old. So there's stuff like that I want to drop, and there's stuff like I bet I want to keep. So I want the body of when I was 21. So I want Liam's body, but I want my head.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
I see what you want. Yeah.
It's very complicated.
Starting from zero with that stuff is pretty good, especially with the intelligence.
Yeah.
I would carry over my fighting game skills stat. I would carry over my low emotional stat or versus like emotion to reason.
To being over emotional.
Yeah. That balance, whatever you'd call that, I would carry that over. I would probably want to I'd lock in my hairstyle at a younger age.
Basically, you're not changing anything.
No, I mean, the rest can re-roll. I can re-roll.
What's something you want to then not have?
My body, ever since I stopped playing football, hasn't been great.
Okay,
so I'd re-roll my body entirely.
All right, that's what I would do too.
Despite inherent advantages and despite inherent disadvantages, I'd still want to maintain being black.
Okay.
I think I would probably also carry over.
I'd change my sex.
Yeah,
I'd mix it up. I'm curious. Some things. There's some things I don't understand now.
Okay.
About that.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
Might as well check it out.
Okay. figure that shit out, huh?
There's many mysteries still.
Austin,
I would hit the random button.
Oh, wow. That's a bold answer.
Except I want to bring the. Oh, I want to bring over the drumming.
Okay.
And I want to bring a copy of Linkin Park's Meteora so I can release it 2 years before that.
Not bad.
That's good.
Not bad.
Yeah. And
so I have a lot of money, and I have no idea what I would look and be like.
Oh, lock down on confidence stat.
Confidence and also my hair.
Having that early on is really important.
Ooh, yeah.
It changes a lot of your interactions in the early game. Because the early game, confidence is a fucking hard stat to boost, right? You can start pumping it.
That's true. That's true.
You can start pumping it, but then you don't have intelligence.
It feels really slow, too.
Right? You don't have speed. You don't have actual ability. You have no endurance. You lose fights. You suck. You get beat up all the time. But if you fill up confidence, you just become an asshole, right?
If you fill up too fast.
Yeah, you're right, you're
but
right.
But if you ignore your confidence stat right, then you get out of high school and you enter the college age, and then you're like, oh, shit, I don't have enough confidence, and now I need it.
You want that Double Dragon Neon stat of balance.
Exactly, right? It's not.
Well, you're like reading the fucking walkthrough to my life now.
It's
I'm like,
really
don't do that again.
To balance out when you need to dump into confidence.
No, it's true. They got to go more confidence. See, I would almost not want to bring intelligence over just because, I feel like if you remember things, it's going to be really fucking boring. Mm.
That's true. Mm. But I think the advantages would. Because was that line in the second Hulk movie, the Edward Norton one, where the Emil Blonsky.
Hulk Smash?
Hulk Smash. Where he goes, man, if you could put what I know in the body I had 15 years ago, that's someone I wouldn't want to meet.
I don't need to know the things I already do. I just need the tools to deal with what I'm
going to encounter.
But
that's what that is, though. That's like knowledge.
No, because, wisdom versus intelligence, right? I think like...
Yeah, but... Yeah, okay.
You know, like if for example, if you have something like confidence up, then like when you're faced with a situation where...
But are you wise enough to be confident when you can?
Well, I guess, yeah, being...
But are you too smart to be confident?
Being stupid when you need to...
You're so stupid that you're confident.
And you assert yourself when you shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
This is almost why...
Yeah, so go ahead.
Oh, this is why you need to roll balanced, man. If you go too far in one direction, you're going to be lacking. And you're going to fall apart.
Rolling balanced is super boring. I know a guy that rolled balance. No one talks
about him.
He's the guy. He was just fucking good old vanilla Ian. He was just at the end of the day.
It's Ian.
There was that's like going on.
That's his intro.
That's it.
You get one stat, and you just take all of everything but one point.
Like
away,
luck,
and you throw that everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, luck. No luck.
Mm-hmm. No, all away. Luck. You can get by on all luck.
Okay, minor. Here's what I would do. I would also dump into comedy. Early.
That's not a stat.
No, or sense of humor, I guess, whatever that is. Because
levity.
jocularity.
Jocularity.
if you pump jocularity early on,
that helps
get out of a lot of situations.
You get out of a lot of bullshit.
Right? You get it. You escape shitty situations, and you become a favorite. In some cases, you might get, if you pump too far, you might become class clown.
Yeah.
And that's not great, because then you get obsessed with that role.
Mm.
But as an escape tool, and or as an ability to like pump that into and become a make a career out of that, career out of high jocularity stat is not bad.
See, jocularity seems like it'd be tied in with charisma.
Yeah,
or is it like
I think
charisma
would actually be what if we anchor it down to like one of the real cliches, it would be charisma.
I guess so. And like max charisma is unstoppable, but yeah, because max charisma means you're going to be a president.
Yeah.
You're going to be a ruler of a cult.
Yeah.
You know, like one or the other is the only place for you. You're either becoming you're either Dio or
yeah, max charisma. Like, you could be high charisma, but then you wind up as like an actor, like a famous person.
You can become a famous actor. You can become
not just max charisma, but you got some fucking equipment boost.
You're putting over max too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got some fucking equipment with some stats on it.
Yeah, and I reroll my thuggery.
Roll it down.
Yeah, turn it down thug. A little bit. Yeah, but no, I think those are the important stats to manage on your sheet, and it's really rough. Inventory is kind of whatever. I mean,
I don't have like my own grappling hook, like,
yeah.
And
if I picked an arcade stick,
I bring my nunchucks, like, who cares?
Yeah, and an arcade stick wouldn't work with whatever is out when I'm starting a new game plus. You know, it's pretty rough. Dex doesn't really help you unless you're going for athletics in particular,
which I'm not.
Right.
as a sexy woman, I
unless you want to be, like,
I could,
cool,
I could be
girl.
Azaria. It's true. Man, I mean, yeah, you can fuck it.
Or Samantha.
Complete 180. That's it. Yeah. I'm gonna be super, super sexy lady with that tries for the Olympics.
Yeah,
that's my reroll.
And if all else fails, dump into luck.
Dump into luck. It'll get you through so much.
That's all you gotta do.
Luck and charisma are the big ones.
Yep.
There you go.
We're completely forgetting an entire layer of this. Like, we've been sticking with like D&D stats this entire time. We haven't even, like, there's The Sims,
which I've never played.
Where's the hygiene stat?
Yeah.
Oh, there's numbers like that in
Yeah, hygiene.
I've never played Sims.
Yeah, so hygiene.
Because hygiene gets you good jobs.
Mm-hmm. Can I?
It does get you good jobs.
Can I carry over with an inventory item that's just a gun?
It's probably a bad idea if you're going to
start with a gun.
It's probably a bad idea if you're going to come back black as well. You're putting yourself at a disadvantage as soon as you plop like, into the game world.
Where? It's a boy. He's got a gun.
He was ready.
Quick. Kill it.
Kill this gun baby.
Before it has a chance to reproduce.
The gun baby just shoots its own umbilical cord.
It's really hygienic, though. And its jocularity is off the charts.
Really high.
There's like this big monitor that's just monitoring all the baby's stats as they get like born into the world.
Oh, man.
That's some good stuff.
That's not bad. You're not
high jocularity, charisma, death baby.
Carried over with his gun. Loaded at that. Fuck, that's dangerous. All right. What have you got going on? What are you looking forward to, Austin?
Yeah, what in terms of media consumption? Let's start with that.
Media consumption.
I
think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to right now is finishing Yakuza 0. Mm-hmm. I've been very slowly making my way through it. But coming up in the future, Horizon Zero Dawn, just hands down. I've been following that game since it came out. I'm super excited for it. I want to go see John Wick 2.
You want to?
Get around to it.
Get
around to it.
You haven't seen it yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's still in theaters.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Some I've been looking forward to.
Cool.
Yeah. And season part 5 of JoJo, maybe, eventually, please.
That's not happening this year, buddy.
I know,
this
but
year?
I finally caught up. I watched all of part 4. I did it. I talked last time I talked to you, I was like, oh, I'm still in Stardust Crusaders, but I did all of it.
You said in that voice, too.
What
are some things coming up on
your
channel?
What's coming up on your channel, and where can people find it?
Coming up soon, actually, I'm doing a top 10 list on the top 10 licensed games you probably didn't play, but some of you probably have. Don't yell at me. A couple other things. We have some big surprises, actually. We were talking about, you know, like, you guys, you know, have those big milestones that you're hitting, but you can't talk about it yet. Well, we've also got a couple things going on behind the scenes that I'm extremely excited about.
Okay. Okay.
And that should be announced next month.
Like in March.
Like in March.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was March. Like, you know, you're just close to a month. You actually mean like April. I don't know. I'm crazy.
Yeah, yeah. March, April-ish. It all depends.
Okay.
Bat?
Horizon Zero Dawn for sure. River City Underground. We should probably stop the podcast and see if it's on Steam yet.
Refresh that page, man.
Those are the big two. Certainly want to also try to see John Wick as well this week. And also want to see Lego Batman, like Christ.
Yeah, Lego Batman.
Did you read that, like, the director of Lego Batman is apparently in negotiations to direct a live-action Nightwing?
Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Holy shit. Fuck Robin, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. It has to do with the continuity of Suicide Squad, where they imply that they killed a Robin in some movie you didn't see.
Did that happen?
Did you never see it?
No.
When characters come into the scene, they have the kooky cards, and it said killed Robin, and everyone's like, what movie was that?
Nice.
So, like, it's implied that it was probably like Tim Drake or something, and that Dick Grayson is Nightwing, he's alive in this continuity.
So the Suicide Squad continuity is the same as Dawn of Justice,
yes,
except it's way in the future.
Yes.
Because Robin doesn't exist in any of the
But he might have. I don't know. Right. It's just Suicide Squad. In the first 5 minutes, Harley has a nameplate that says killed Robin. And everyone's like, what?
But there's no space for Robin to exist based on.
Because there's no movie that showed him.
Gotcha. Okay,
anyway, perfect. I'm sorry. I'm glad we could all, as a nation, take the time. Anyway. Those are kind of the main things. So especially Lego Batman, I kind of want to get that going.
So are they implying that like Joker didn't kill Jason Todd then?
And
that
I don't
she
know.
Did it instead? Is that what
a lot of Suicide Squad? In case you didn't know, a lot of it is told in flashback.
Okay.
Specifically the Joker Harley.
But
stuff.
It's like she does the crowbar scene instead.
I don't know. It didn't show it. All you were given was that text.
No one acknowledged it. Okay.
No. All right. Except that bit of text.
Weird.
Anyway, very weird. So, anyway. As for our channel, you know, we're doing everything we can.
Yep. I don't know.
Everything.
I don't know how to tease this any slower or any less obviously. But, I'm going back to my roots a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going back to my roots.
Yeah.
And
what did you do in your roots?
Me and the boys, we hung out, and sometimes we carried wax with us.
Okay.
In case we came across any surfaces that needed waxing.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to be doing in this new Let's Play. So look forward to that.
I think it comes out tomorrow or today, technically, when you're hearing this.
Turok? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I fucking wish.
Yeah. Turok 2.
Not Turok 2. Turok 2. Yeah. No, it's not.
And like deeply embedded in a video I can't watch because it's at the end of a game that I don't want to spoil for myself.
Yeah.
Smart. Wise. I see how this works.
All the regular things
are continuing.
RE7 is done. Parasite Eve has some more. Dark Souls has infinite more. Yeah. Also, be taking a quick look. I think we said this maybe last week, but we're going to take a quick look at X-Men Origins Wolverine because you still have not actually played that, yeah?
Yeah.
And yeah, Logan comes out this Friday, and also a new console, I just realized.
Yeah.
So all those things we are looking forward to.
Right.
It's March Madness, quite literally, this time.
Yeah, totally.
Looking forward to those For Honor servers getting back up.
That'd be great.
They're probably back.
They're a backup,
yeah,
I think.
I'm sure they're back up now.
I think you mean your Windjammers tournament.
Yeah, I think so. Looking forward to finishing off working on some new Wooly Versus videos. I've got some fun ideas. And, of course, Tuesday I'm dropping the next one. You might need Google Translate to help you out on it.
Mm.
So look forward to that. And
God damn it. God damn it. What was the other thing? There was a game. There was a fucking game.
There was a fucking game.
Shit. Shit. There's a good release, and I'm fucking forgetting it, and it's bothering me.
As oh, well. I thought it was just
oh, well, it's fine. It's fine. There's too much.
Is it Nier Automata?
Too much. Sorry? Huh?
Did you say a game?
Yeah. Were you being... I don't know. Nier Automata's coming out soon, I think.
Yeah. Oh, but that's like next... But that's in March.
That's after next week, and I'm not doing the early Japanese shit. Copy.
Yeah.
I know Liam started out on it, and I know that, like... YouTube is a death zone
of
don't you dare
final boss
because though. There's tons of endings, but don't you dare look up anything related to like relate. Don't look at the
suggested videos,
suggested recommended videos. Yeah,
yeah, you yeah, will yeah. get
fucked. So just stop. Keep your eyes on the video, and that's it. But yeah, we'll talk about Nier more next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, PAX East, man.
We're going. Well, that's like next weekend.
Yeah, but we're gonna be at PAX
East. Yeah, me and Wooly will be at PAX East. Going around the show floor,
yucking it up.
Probably, yeah, we definitely will be having like an autograph signing at the screen.
I thought you were gonna say, yeah, we definitely will be yucking it up.
Yucking will happen.
Okay.
Lots of yucking. We yuck all night. We'll be having a an autograph.
Oh, don't look up music either, people are saying. Okay. All right.
Okay. We are definitely going to be having an autograph signing at the ScreenWave booth. Time and specific day to be decided, but that definitely will be happening either Friday or Saturday, mm-hmm. possibly Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the podcast will be recorded there.
Yeah, we're going to take it. We're going to record it on the road. Okay. I'm going to walk with my portable recorder, and we'll just do it.
And we'll probably pick out some guests.
Whoever's around, we'll grab a random stranger.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Ollie the Bum will be nearby.
Maybe Ollie the Bum will be there.
And we can get him on the podcast.
Yeah, no, that'd be good.
And for anyone who's been having some trouble finding my channel, because it's like it's Wooly versus spelt out all one word, but like it
people
takes
write versus like V-E-R.
There's different ways to write versus and space, no space. It's gonna take a while for the indexing to like work properly with enough videos. So like eventually it'll be fine, but for now, yeah, you have to type out the word versus and it's all one word.
Mm-hmm.
Spaces and such don't work, and sorry for that. I'm gonna try to fix it.
And yeah, what's the last thing? I'm streaming tonight with one Dino, my new best friend. He's gonna be schooling me in some old beat 'em ups and fighting games, Garo, Three Count Bout, Breaker's Revenge. Stuff
you better
like
not
that.
Find a bug while you're playing.
He's one of the games he picked, like, because there's lots of stuff I haven't shown people. Okay. A King of Fighters game specifically. So that's going to be happening tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on my Twitch, twitch.tv/MatthewMcMuscles.
There you go. Oh, the Proto Men are going to be at PAX. That's cool.
Who?
The Proto Men.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice. Well,
they're at a show that we went to before, and they were like, get our stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, of course. No, yeah, because we took the commander's flag.
Yeah, exactly.
He fucking came and, like, give me that shit. And we're like, oh.
And we're like, oh, sorry.
And then, of course, there was MAGFest where they were playing, and that was cool. All right. So with that, check out our boys over at Arcadia.
Hey, thank
you. Spell that with the word arcade and then add an A. And
Arcadea, just like
there
that.
You go.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks a lot, cutie booty Austin.
Thank you so much for having me.
See you soon.
Oh, well, you're the cuties.
No PAXies for you, though, yeah.
Nope, still, no PAXies
still,
for
still
me.
Still trying
this,
to
unfortunately.
Force you.
But, you know, maybe just fucking drag me out of my house.
It's a long distance. You have to travel across the entire country, so I understand. It's fine.
Yeah, everyone's in Vancouver now, right? So
everyone's up there.
Yeah, we got to drag them out. We got to drag them out.
Everyone's in Couve. Everyone's getting hype about
in the Couve
city.
All right, thanks a lot, Austin.
That's a podcast.
Thanks,
later,
podcast.
Guys. Three, two, one, fight!
Perfect.